There must be lights burning brighter somewhere. Got to be birds flying higher in a sky more blue. If I can dream.
Hey folks, Carl Castaneda here, and in association with NintendoWorldReport.com, ChildsPlayCharity.org, and listeners just like you, this is Radio Free Nintendo, doing it live for the kids. This is the third and final part of our telethon from December 4th, so get ready for the state of Nintendo's downloadable content in the first hour, and then in the second hour, a look back on the games of the year. Just as in part 1 and 2, there are some technical issues present that we just weren't able to remove, such as volume levels, crosstalk, and some call dropouts. Even so, it's still a really great show, and I know you'll enjoy it just as much as I did. So without further ado, here's part 3 of Radio Free Nintendo, doing it live for the kids.
And fear, if I can dream of a warmer sun, where hope keeps shining on everyone, tell me why, oh why.
So, for the next segment here, we are going to talk about WiiWare, DSiWare, and Virtual Console.
Oh.
Yes. So, I need to bring in Neil, Zach, and Andy, and we're going to now say goodbye for a while to James.
Bye, James.
Oh, right, of course, you'll just mute because we got to keep you on the call for the stream. I almost hung up on you, which would be bad.
Careful.
Right, I would have had my own show.
Not the end of the world, but it would have been a disruption. So,
all right,
Greg, I have you on for this segment. So,
Virtual Console.
Who else
this,
is on?
This is my wheelhouse.
I'm looking up right now.
Is anyone else on right now? It's just us three. I think it's just us three. Okay.
Hold on. Let me get the list.
Neil. It's Neil.
Let me call Neil.
Yep.
And Zach.
The list is.
And I got it open. I saw it.
Hello.
Hello.
And right. Andy. Hello. I'm not seeing in the chat.
Zach.
Yes, I do need to add
Zach,
Andy.
How much money do we need
was
to
that
get?
Neil? There's too many people on this call. What's up, Neil?
Before we start, how much money do we need to get to the next?
About $150. So let's go, people.
Let's
go. We are very close. If we don't meet that goal, this will be the last hour of the show, and it will end.
Without me. It'll end without me.
So if you haven't donated yet, please do that now. Don't delay. This is the time to do it. And
specifically, Game of the Year. That is what we're dangling.
Is that up next? Oh, my God. Yep.
You will not hear about it, and we won't do a pickup segment on the future episodes either, just to spite you. So it's
Greg is hateful today.
Yeah, pretty much everything that gets done here will never be talked about ever again.
James won't be able to do it on the site. Anything that you
no, actually, no, wait.
James is loving this idea, by the way.
Oh yeah.
James, like, can I donate negative dollars?
I want to cancel my donation from early.
All right. And
so that's it. 100 odd bucks we need. Yeah.
Our assistant for this hour will be Jared. He is Penguin of Time in the chat room. So if you want to get a comment in front of our eyes during this hour, you can send a PM in the chat to Penguin of Time. And of course, if you want to call in a little bit later, send a Skype message to RFN Live Assistant. That name will never change. We're going to be using it all day. And again, we have raised 32% of our goal, over $1,600 as of right now, which is amazing. Thank you so much to everybody who has already donated. That is fantastic. And of course, we're hoping to keep it rolling. So another $140, and we will unlock yet another hour of this wacky, wacky show. I hope everybody is enjoying listening along. And now we jump into the WiiWare stuff. WiiWare, DSiWare, and Virtual Console, all your Nintendo DLC needs. And really, I'm going to step back. I'll be on here, but I'm not going to be talking as much during this segment because I'm kind of tired.
I wonder why. Like, really, really just curious as to why.
Andy, are you on too?
He's nervous about that and more running all over him. That's what I mean.
All right, and James is going to be muted for this segment, we think, but he'll be on because he's making the stream magic happen. All righty. So you guys, how do you want to kick it off here? I kind of envision this as like the ultimate guide to basically what everybody should download first thing. If you've never, if you're getting a DSi for Christmas or something and you don't know where to start, what's like the absolute must have games? What are some of the hidden gems that maybe a lot of people haven't really heard of before?
Well, the first thing that I have to say is, if you're interested in WiiWare and DSiWare, we have two features that, where it went up for the first year anniversary of DSiWare and the second year anniversary of WiiWare that goes over a lot of different games from both of those. But yeah, does anyone have any specific games that they want to call out?
WiiWare, Shantae, goddammit.
Yeah, I mean, Shantae's finally out. It only took about a year. Shantae Risky's Revenge, which is from the guys over at WayForward, and it's kind of like a Metroidvania game. Zach, you reviewed it. So
yeah, the Game Boy Color original's more Metroidy.
Definitely the DSiWare one's really, I guess, kind of streamlined a little bit. It's a lot
very
smaller.
Very much so. Oh yeah, but it's beautiful. It plays well. It has lots of cute girls in it. So,
you'd like that.
Hell yeah! But no, it's a really fantastic game. And in fact, I was playing it just the other day. This is like my fifth time through. I'm doing speedruns now.
When I went, for those who don't know, I went on a vacation the other week, and usually I'll buy a gaming magazine to read on the plane or something like that. So I got Nintendo Power, and they actually have a map of Shantae in it, which will help out for some of the things that I don't mark on the map in the game, which was really my big complaint with the game, is that the map is
terrible. Yeah, me too. Was that in the most recent issue? Because I might have to buy
that. The one with Kingdom Hearts stuff on the cover.
Nice. Did you see the Nintendo Power with the NES?
That's a really cool feature.
Yeah, I want to buy that just because that's what Nintendo thinks the Wii Remote is now.
Yeah, I bought Shantae, maybe like a couple of months ago, really just after we did the game club that I was not around for because I hadn't bought the game yet. But honestly, I've not played it yet. I think maybe I'm just kind of like waiting for a good rainy day to sit with a handheld on my couch. But I liked the first 10 minutes of it that I played. I mean, the graphics are gorgeous and the music is good. But I really haven't had a chance to sink my teeth into it yet. In fact,
and I still
haven't really played a lot on DSiWare. I did get a little game called Snap Dots.
Yeah, we talked about that on a newscast recently.
Yeah, and it's not too bad. It's just sort of a real simplistic logic game.
That's a lot of the good stuff on DSiWare, in my opinion. I mean, I historically have like something like 40 games for it at this point, although some of those were gifted by developers for reviews and stuff like that.
Sure.
But I like a lot of the puzzle games on it. Like, I'll still break out Dr. Mario or the Puzzle League Express that's on it. All the art style games I really like. I mean, definitely Nathan was talking about if it made it into the final disaster of a newscast that we just had.
That was the best.
I can tell you that
Nathan mentioned how he doesn't really like the art style games, which, I mean, as much as I love them, some of them are really hit or miss. It's just that generally I love the art styles in them, which, art style. And usually the gameplay in it is fun, some of them deeper than others. Like, I got really addicted to Art Style Digidrive, which is from Q Games.
Oh, I love that. I've got the GBA one of that. I would love to have it on DSi where if I had a DSi.
Definitely. When 3DS comes around, and I mean, that's compatible, right?
Oh, yeah. That's good. Well, we think so, but that will be DSiWare coming out for me is when I get my 3DS, and definitely some of these games that, especially Neil, you've been a pretty big advocate of DSiWare the whole time, and several of the games you've mentioned I'm probably going to get immediately because...
Here's an interesting question. Cave Story is out for DSiWare now.
Hell yeah.
And do you think, obviously, it's as I've mentioned earlier in the show, it's finally come out in WiiWare in Europe.
Yeah.
Do you think it's worth me waiting until 3DS to have it portable?
It's still $12 on WiiWare in Europe, right?
I think it'll be the same.
So there's only the $2 difference.
Basically, it's still not
okay, but it's coming out later this month, right?
It's coming out on the 10th.
You know, I think that the DSiWare is a little the DSiWare version of Cave Story is a little more stripped down. I think it may not have all the extra modes.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So I would probably just go with WiiWare. And plus,
for $2 more, you're getting a bunch of extra modes. You know,
ton of content.
the old art style and the new art style and the old music and the new music.
You know, and they've done a sneaky update to the WiiWare version that's supposed to fix some of the musical stuff.
Yeah, because there was actually an instrument missing, I think, from the new music, which caused a lot of people to hate.
Yeah, so they fixed that, and then by the way, okay, Carl's putting some distracting stuff in the chat room, but something about Sexmo. But anyway,
that was Sexmo.
But I a little birdie told me back at E3 that although it's undocumented because of the certification process, the new Cave Story WiiWare update might have implemented GameCube controller support. So
That means I could play it with my Super Nintendo pad because I've got one of those retrozone adapters.
Yeah, or if you have a free pad, the
GameCube, I have one of those.
Like basically a Super Nintendo controller, but
yeah,
with a big fat D-pad. Andy, you have one?
I do have one of those. Yeah,
it's nice. I never used it that much, but it's nice to have. You know,
I think I bought it specifically for Alien Hominid, which I barely ever played.
It does work.
I have Cave Story on WiiWare, and I'm tempted to go buy it on DSiWare as well.
I am too.
I think I play it a lot more on a portable.
I mean,
the kind of game I want to play on DSi.
Like, for example, like Zero Mission, like I'll be taking the train or the bus or something. I'll be like, yeah, I'll just beat Zero Mission on the bus today. Like, I wouldn't do that if it was on a console. I'd only do that if it's on a handheld.
Right. You end up playing stuff a lot more. RPGs, it works for me, but you know, like stuff like the Metroidvanias, I've enjoyed being portable a lot. So stuff Shantae, Cave Story, that would all work for me.
Now, of course, I have 800 points, you know, sitting on my DSi account, so I'd have to go spend another 10 just to get the stupid game.
Of course.
Nah. Yeah, I still haven't checked to see what I've got sitting on the DSi account, but
good, Andy. It's 800 points.
Right on.
But it's really hard. It's
really cool. I like a lot of the Q Games stuff as well. I mean, it's basically art style, but not name. Like Trajectile, I really enjoyed. Dark Void Zero, I know, Zach, Dark Void Zero. That one.
Probably be the number one first thing I download when I get a 3DS.
That's such a good game.
What about Xscape? I always really like the look of that.
Yeah, it reminds me a lot of like the original Star Fox. It's definitely, I think John talked about it on RFN, Greg.
He played it a little bit.
And he said that he had a problem with the controls, which I actually didn't really have that much issue with it. Like, it does use the touchscreen, but
Is it a lot like Command in the action bits?
Yeah, I would say it's kind of like that. But
I'm fine with that,
it's very like kind of I guess stripped down, but at the same time it's a lot of fun, and the way they have the graphics in that game look really cool because there's a lot of bright colors and those kind of like, you know, the geometric shapes from the original Star Fox.
I think it'd be cool if they did a 3DS update for that though.
Yeah, that would be really cool.
Mm-hmm. If you added depth effect to that, I think you'd have a real sort of retro cool thing going on.
Yeah, for sure. So this isn't necessarily a meat and potatoes WiiWare game, but the one that I think is probably one of the least, probably one of the most underexposed awesome games on WiiWare is Orbient.
Yeah, I knew it. I was going to interrupt you and be like, can I guess?
I know, I'm a super space nerd, and I showed this to a friend a couple of weeks ago. It's the first time I'd played it in quite a while. And I just thought, hey, you should see this because he's also an aerospace engineer and he's had some of the same classes on orbital mechanics that I have. And I know I just lost half the audience, but Orbient is really easy to pick up. I mean, my mom could play it. Seriously, it's a two button game. You don't even use the D-pad.
Brilliant.
A or B. You either attract or repel. So when you play it, you immediately start to build like this feel for what's going to happen when you push these buttons, because you see it on screen. It's very simple. And yet the relationships of what's actually driving the way that you move in and out of these orbits in space, and it's a 2D game, by the way. I mean, it's easy to understand just looking at it. It's very actually, the graphics are kind of terrible. it's very easy to understand. They're just super simple and stripped down. It looks like a budget GBA game, which it is, basically. But when you see it, I mean, you play that for 60 seconds and you will understand what's going on. Yep. And yet, it is so complex. The stuff that's going on. I was playing it with a friend. I've played this with a couple of friends from aerospace, actually. And we're all amazed at how well it incorporates and actually teaches you very complex orbital mechanics fundamentals. Just, you know, you're not going to know what it's called, and you won't know the math behind it.
But it's intuitive. It makes it intuitive.
You can learn Kepler's law. I learned this shit in college, okay, in aerospace engineering. You can learn Kepler's laws and how they apply. You can learn multi-body orbital mechanics, which is a graduate-level topic, from playing the $6-$7 WiiWare game. It's amazing.
Hmm.
It's amazing.
And then some
it's
of
really
the
fun too. And it's also super trippy. I mean, if you like psychedelic games,
oh man,
oh my God. It's
and that
really
ending's
psychedelic.
Just depressing. Like the ending credits is just really kind of creepy.
I agree.
But I mean, my experience with that game is it was your review initially that got me even thinking about it, Johnny. So it's your fault why I'm all into art style games, because that was the first
it's so
played.
Cheap. It's so cheap and it's so
weird. Yeah, it's $6. So I think I had 600 points lying around after buying something else. I was like, oh, I'll buy this. And I didn't play it at first. And then I was hanging out with some friends, and one of my friends also heard about it. So we played it, and we just sat in front of the screen and were mesmerized by it. Like, we just pass it around and be like, all right, you can do this level. And that was like a night. Just went through that game.
Oh. Yeah, I had the GBA version of that too, the Bit Generations version, which I'm not sure if it's got extra levels, the WiiWare one, but some of the later levels, I did them all. And you get the little moon as the bonus, crescent moon and all that. I mean, it's really tough, but I mean, as a handheld game where you can dip in at any time to one of those little, totally addictive.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll have to get this. This sounds fun.
Yeah, I mean, did anyone else play any of the other art style WiiWare games? Because I have not.
I played Cubello, which is so-so.
Yeah, Cubello's, it's funny.
It's weirdly, you can kind of zone out on it and kind of like if you're listening to a podcast or something, it's quite kind of some kind of weird little sort of like busy work thing for you to do that appeals probably to people with obsessive compulsive tendencies, but it's not a very good game, you know. It's just aesthetically it's kind of very fits in well with the whole art style / Bit Generations kind of vibe, but it's not great. And then I've played Tentacles
or whatever, like, stupid name.
Yeah, Rotozoa, far more appropriate wordplay. Yeah.
Rotozoa is not great, I have to say.
No, that's it's.
It seemed like again, it would be a lot cooler.
It's okay.
It's kind of relaxing, and again, it kind of works as if your attention is somehow otherwise occupied with other stuff. But like if you just like kind of chatting with a friend while playing it or a podcast. But again, yeah, it's a bit simple to be engaging, I would say. I mean, they're all simple, but this is there ain't going to be any Kepler's law. You won't learn anything about microbiology while playing it or anything.
So we got some other. I mean, anything else on WiiWare? I mean, definitely Mega Man 9 and Mega Man 10.
Yeah, both the Mega Man. I like Nick's Quest is good.
Yeah, Nick's
I was
Quest
gone there for a. I was gone there for a few minutes. Did you guys tout the genius that is World of Goo while I was gone?
Not yet.
Oh no,
that's too obvious, isn't it? But,
I can't get into that.
World of Goo is still the only WiiWare game that I've like completed, like actually played enough to play from beginning to end. I absolutely love the aesthetic and the tone of that game, and of course.
See, I got the demo, and I just couldn't wrap my head around the concept.
Fair enough. You know, if you have trouble with the initial levels, it's very physics based. It's a game that like teaches weird principles of engineering in a way that is kind of really intuitive and amazing. But if you have trouble grasping the stuff that's in the demo, you probably shouldn't buy it because it gets more complicated and more difficult later on.
There were some levels
towards the end that, especially when you're building like these giant bridges and they're on fire. There were times when I felt like I didn't completely understand why things were happening. And I was just kind of like trial and error, you know?
Yep.
There were times where I felt like I wasn't really in control of what was happening anymore.
The thing that surprised me about World of Goo is how it changed from sort of world to world. Like you get to the sort of world set inside the computer, and then all of a sudden the internet thing
blew my mind.
All of a sudden you're like, it's a whole kind of new mechanic with the whole flicking things, like, which is kind of more skill based rather than just thinking about it as well. Yeah. And at that point, for a week, although it is one of the more premium WiiWare games, you weren't necessarily expecting like this whole new gameplay style to come in quite near the end, but it does. So,
yeah, I mean, that definitely shocked me when I got to that point in the game.
I like Dive. Dive is fun.
Yeah, Dive was really cool. The Medes Island or Metis, I don't know how to say it, but cool game.
Secret of Metis Island, yeah. Yeah. Kind of it teaches you how to avoid giant mutant eels.
And then shoot them with a tranquilizer dart and watch them
right.
die.
Are you kidding
it's,
me?
It's really a spear, but it's a tranquilizer
it really
spear.
Is, yeah.
It passes through their body, but they don't die. They just faint like in Pokemon.
Of course, you got the Rebirth games, but they're a bit of a cheat, I feel like.
Castlevania.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, Contra Rebirth is cool, but
it's
I think
so similar to Virtual Console games you could play.
Yeah.
I think
Nathan Fouts hit the nail on the head by Contra Rebirth just feels like it's, you know, you're replaying a game from before as opposed to, you know, playing something completely new.
And that's the problem with Castlevania Rebirth is that you're playing a game that's actually not as good as what you can get now with Greg, help me out here. The
Dracula X?
Yes, thank you. Dracula X.
Yeah, Dracula X is really good. I mean,
it's better than Rebirth, and it's about the same price.
I mean, I think that sort of thing has its place, but it's not really, you know, what WiiWare should kind of be about or what you would first recommend to people with WiiWare, because you probably would say to them, you know, go with Dracula X, or, you know, in the case of Contra, you might say go for Contra 3.
It's pretty damn good. It's got secret exits, and it's got
yeah.
multiple items, and it has really fantastic graphics. I think in some ways it looks better than Dracula X.
Yeah, well, the thing with it's
shouldn't
it's got
it
better.
Really?
Yeah, it certainly should. You know, it's got this sure. weird. It's got this weird color palette because obviously it's got a lot more colors than TGCD had, but at the same time it's sort of equally as garish. You know, it's not like, you know, the way Super Castlevania used the extra color palette was to have something quite muted, but still,
right.
you know, lovely. Was it like for Xanadu? That was just brown. But, you know, they just, Rebirth went all out.
Yeah, it's
crazy,
very bright. It's very
crazy
bright.
Blue skies. It's kind of like
almost
what
like Galaxy. Genesis game.
Yeah, yeah, and that's what it's more like, probably like at the X68000 version that got ported to PS1. It's the music similarly shares a lot in common with those, actually. But it kind of reminds me of what they did with Galaxy 2, where they like all the space kind of nighttime skies got replaced with blue skies because apparently thought that, you know, like Mario needed to be behind blue skies more often. It was more Mario that way. It just kind of reminds me of that.
Yeah.
I mean, the Bit Trip series, another WiiWare series.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
that
yeah,
wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, apparently no one's played it on the basis of all the people.
Yeah.
I mean,
runners definitely were for newscast, for anyone who cares. We're doing our Game of the Year discussion episode.
Newscast presents.
Yeah, and I was thinking about it, and Bit Trip Runners is definitely in the running for one of my favorite games of the year.
Ditto.
Like, I love that game.
But I'll save that for the next hour.
Yeah,
which so, we're 15 minutes. We're $15 away from unlocking the game of the year.
Oh, nice!
Yeah, we're over it.
Are we? Okay, it just hasn't updated for me then.
Yeah, 17.
Somebody's saying Pokemon Ranch. I really want to get Pokemon Ranch, but it's too pricey for what I think it's supposed to be.
What it is, for your origami.
It's
Pokemon.
Kind of just a marketing tool for Pokemon, isn't it? I mean, that should be free.
Isn't every Pokemon game a marketing tool for Pokemon?
Yeah, but every Pokemon game is a game unto itself. Whereas Ranch, isn't it really just kind of like?
Oh, sorry,
aquarium?
Ranch. I thought he wrote Rumble. I want Rumble, not Ranch.
Oh, yeah. That's just the same models, right? But it's this weird little.
Yeah.
So Zach, did you play the demo of Rumble earlier this year?
Yeah, I did play the demo of Rumble. It's like a little, God, I don't even know. It's like stupid people Diablo.
Yeah,
like you just run around killing other Pokemon and
fun to me.
Collecting things. No, it's a very brain dead game. You know, it's something you play while you listen to a podcast, or if I had a TV on and next to it, I'd watch Bones and play Pokemon Rumble.
And we're not okay.
I kind of wish it was on DSiWare, because then I'd play the hell out of it.
Yeah.
So we're certainly not saying that Pokemon itself is boring. Pokemon Ranch or Pokemon Rumble, though, is
definitely
super simple little action game for WiiWare. But let's go back to Bit Trip real quick, because Runner, I agree. I mean, I'm a huge fan of Runner. You know, the Bit Trip Beat is really great, too. And that's probably my second favorite in the series right now. And you can actually get it on iPod and Steam, I think, even. So you can get it on multiple platforms now. But I would imagine the Wii version is probably the best because then you have the motion control, but you also don't have to tilt your screen around like you would on an iPod or iPhone.
Yeah.
But it is an amazing game. I mean, it's basically Pong set to really good music.
Right. It says my friend called it Communist Pong when we checked it out back at the New York Comic Con when we had no idea about it. Like it was, and the first time we actually played it because it was right next to what's that? Was it Blaze Blue or whatever that the game that Axis puts out? Because there was like 50 people there because it's a comic convention, so of course everyone loves shitty anime 2D brawlers or fighters.
I think they're quite well rated. Actually, I haven't played them, but yeah, they're quite good. Apparently,
I was not interested. I was like, oh look, a WiiWare game. Let's go check it out. And the first time we saw someone holding two Wii remotes and playing the two-player mode by themselves. And I was just like, is that how you play it? What are you doing, guy? But then we ended up figuring out, okay, that's not how you play it. You each have your own. But it was tons of fun, and that was probably one of the highlights of that entire convention then.
Was that guy doing it on purpose? Did he just not know how to play it?
Because there was such a crowd around there that we basically had to fight our way in to even look at the Wii that was just tucked away next to Blaze Blue.
Cool. Interesting. See, I first saw BitTrip Runner at PAX East when we were there earlier this year to do our live panel, and man, there was actually always a pretty big crowd around Runner. They weren't there for something else. There was always a big crowd around Runner, people waiting to play it. And I have to say, most of the people were terrible at it.
It's a hard game.
It is a hard game, and I understand the first time you play it, you're gonna have some trouble with it, but holy crap. Some of those people would just play the same easy-ass level over and over, and they'd mess up in exactly the same place. And I know how that feels, but, you know, it happened to me not much later in the game, but, you know, later. They were playing early levels. Playing I was like, that. Oh my God, you people have no reflexes at all.
I can't imagine playing that public, though. It's just that, you know, that kind of thing. I need to be left alone so I can have my moments of frustration without anyone.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. But you know, BitTrip Runner, if you don't mind difficult games, certainly if you're into like Super Meat Boy and stuff like that, you absolutely have to get Runner.
I still want Meat Boy. Oh my God.
Man.
Yeah, I mean we could be talking about that right now, but it's not out on WiiWare yet.
Yeah, and maybe it's not coming to WiiWare at all. Maybe it'll be a disc game. But
I like that. I'd buy it there.
I think that makes more sense because that way they won't have to cut out a lot of content from the other versions and you know, and frankly, there's plenty of content in there to be worth $30 or even $40 if they want to sell it on a disc. Yeah. I think that's a completely reasonable price. I mean, the fact that I got it for $10, I feel like I stole that game. I paid $10 for it, and honestly, I feel like I didn't pay enough for it, and I never feel that way. But this game, it is just crammed full of content, and it's just exactly the kind of platformer that I want. And we've gushed about Super Meat Boy all over the place. Yeah. Did you guys hear about the PETA thing?
Yeah.
That is so weird. So apparently Super Meat Boy is so notorious or it's so popular that PETA decided to make Super Tofu Boy.
And apparently Team Meat used to try to go in PETA's forums and try to create fake usernames and spread buzz about the game so that way PETA would rip on them. So really, I mean, Team Meat, it works out for them. They get more publicity.
Yeah, and I've heard they might be putting a Tofu Boy character.
I think it's in the game now.
Already?
It was DLC on the PC version.
Huh.
What?
It was DLC on the PC version. It was released the very next day.
Yeah, because I think they were working on a patch for the PC version because a friend of mine got the PC version, and apparently it was a little broken, but they were patching it. I mean, there was the week after it came out, and I think the patch included Super Tofu Boy. Maybe.
I hope we get that on Xbox, too. And you know, with a disc, with the Wii version, whatever platform it comes out, since that's coming out later, that's a chance for them to add all the DLC, all that stuff. They can cram it in there on the disc or whatever. So
is it just not coming to PSN?
You know, I don't know. Maybe they just don't have the dev kits for it.
I don't think it is. Mm-hmm. They've talked about it before where I think people have asked them about PSN. I'm like, no, like that. I think Sony might be making it more difficult because I think they had the deal with Microsoft first and then the deal with Nintendo.
Yeah. You know, I kind of want an Xbox, but not for any disc-based games, just for DLC.
Yeah, me and you, Zach.
You guys need the Xbox Live Arcade machine.
They do.
And frankly, I mean, I own a lot more arcade games than I do disc games. I only have like six 360 games on disc, and I've spent hundreds of dollars on Live Arcade.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I'm the exact same way.
Yeah.
I
have a lot of stuff on there.
The new Pac-Man is really fantastic as well.
Yeah, yeah. I need to get that. I got the demo, and it seems pretty good.
Is there any reason why that couldn't be on WiiWare? I mean, aside from maybe a space limitation, it doesn't look like it's taxing.
No,
it is processing a lot of pretty wacky stuff. I mean, it's very bright. It's a bit like Geometry Wars in the style of it, you know. It's very neon and flashy, and obviously Geometry Wars is on Wii. So, honestly, it couldn't be done. But it's not as it's not as simple looking as you might think if you haven't played it yet. But you know, Zach, that is on PSN, so...
I've got it
on PSN.
I might have to get that one.
There you go. So back to Nintendo stuff. What do you guys think about Virtual Console? I mean...
I've never played it. Rubbish.
Exactly.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I mean, we probably don't need to talk about the obvious games on Virtual Console, because if you go and look at the popular titles, you're going to get your Mario 3.
Yeah, we don't need to pin Super Mario 3 anymore than it.
That's fine. But there's such a deep catalog of fairly obscure stuff on Virtual Console.
I was thinking, in preparation for this segment, I was thinking about what basically on Virtual Console was opened up to me because of what was on it, and that's really the Turbo graphics and import games. And things that come to mind for me are like the Bomberman games. I never really experienced them that much until I got Bomberman 93 on TG16. And then also Chominiki, another TG16 game that's also an import, and Sin and Punishment for N64. And then I can't think of the name of it. It's the TG16 where you're like, oh, Chu Man Fu. That was another one. Really, really fun.
No, this is, I mean, it's
really
it's
racist,
a lot of,
right?
Well, the name.
The name is. I think it might be the translation, but it's the whole thing of like, you're like, I think like a two little girls kicking a ball around trying to like defeat Chu Man Fu.
It's meant to be very good. I haven't actually
Isn't it
tried
kind of
it's,
like
it's
Lolo?
A really, really good game. What?
Isn't it kind of like Lolo?
Yeah.
Greg, you need to start using Lolo's death music in your stingers on RFM.
Yeah, I've got the Castlevania death music. You know, I could build up a whole archive of death music.
It's been a little while since I played both Lolo and Chu Man Fu, but
Lolo's awesome,
I think it's like I think Chu Man Fu might be worth as a, like kind of like Clu Clu Land meets Lolo, maybe.
Oh.
If that works.
That's interesting. Clu Clu Land.
Very interesting.
I don't know if I can really recommend that on Virtual Console.
Oh, I can't either.
I do kind of have a nostalgia for it, but it's not a great game, you know. Yeah. It's almost like a mini game. I don't know. I don't know if it's really worth your $5. It is, I mean, it's kind of a strange example of like Miyamoto's thing with maze games, you know. I mean, we never got Devil World in the West.
It's really weird that they haven't put that as an import though.
Well,
that would be a fun.
They've released
one too.
It everywhere else. They've released it in Europe and they've released it in Japan. Huh. A lot of that kind of stuff that's first party import has ended up in America, hasn't it? I mean, you know, Sin and Punishment being kind of the prime example, but there's been others as well. Like Super Mario RPG came to Europe for the first time through the Virtual Console, for instance. But, I mean, obviously, one of the things that Virtual Console's known for, especially in the TG16 arena, as Neil brought up, is shooters, you know, side-scroller shooters and stuff, and I've got a lot of those.
Yeah.
But I think the shooter, for people that might not ordinarily play them, or like them, I would point to if you fancy just trying one, is definitely Axlay for the Super Nintendo, which, you know, the thing is Super Nintendo generally kind of struggle with shooters. Because, you know, so you had like Super R-Type where it scrolls like a slideshow.
Oh, that sucked. I think I did the VC rec for that, and man, that sucked.
It's balls hard. Super Auto is crazy hard. It runs like crap. I mean, I had it. I had the import game originally, and there's things about it I like, but it is deeply flawed.
I've probably mentioned before, but I've never beaten the first boss in Super R-Type.
It's a very difficult game. I think the third level is like a real bottleneck. Like it's like the last level of most games, basically.
By the way, Farnham in the chat, I want to bring this up because it's a funny game. But he was asking, he or she was asking if Karnov is on Virtual Console.
Karnov.
They just brought out Karnov's Revenge of the European Virtual Console, which is like a Neo Geo fighting game or something.
It's a fighting game?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think it's got much to do with the original Karnov, but it's got his name in it.
Yeah, so the original Karnov game, it's kind of a kusoge, you know, like a shit game. It was an arcade game originally, I think, and then they ported it to NES. And the NES it's so weird. It's one of the weirdest games I can think of. And you play this Russian wrestler type guy who runs around breathing fire, and the music is totally bizarre and hilarious. I love the music to Karnov, actually. But it has a lot of – I mean, it plays similar to Mega Man, I guess. But, of course, with all these weird graphics, completely insane enemies. And then you have these items that you can use. And I guess it is similar to Mega Man in that way, but they're not all weapons. Like, there's a ladder that Karnov carries around. And in this kind of –
He just carries a ladder around.
Yeah, he carries a ladder around.
Why not?
He pulls it out of his pocket, and you use it to get up to a ledge. But then when you get to the top, you have to collect the ladder to take it with you to the next part. And if you don't, you'll get to an area later that you just can't get through because your ladder is way back at the beginning of the level. So it is kind of poorly designed, but it's so crazy. And I didn't even know there was a sequel to Karnov.
I don't know whether it's like a sequel, whether it's just something with Karnov's name on it that came. This was a real rarity last week. Was a double virtual console update for the European virtual console. It was Magical Drop 2 and Karnov's Revenge, Neo Geo stuff, basically. But I mean, what I was saying with Axlay is that it's actually a very slow shooter because it was designed around the fact that Super NES shooters were slow. But rather than just have it like slow down brutally, the gameplay is paced more slowly, deliberately. And it still kind of runs a bit iffily here and there. But what that makes is it's, you know, not as crazy and just like completely excessive as a lot of the stuff on TurboGrafx. And it's not a one-hit kill. Well, I mean, if you crash, you die instantly, but you can take multiple hits with bullets, and you've got all these different weapons, and you unlock more as you beat more levels. And it's just it's just a more thoughtful shooter with an excellent soundtrack that came out on the Virtual Console, I think, at the end of 2007. So if you've not that amenable to shooters, I think that's something that could have been overlooked that's well worth revisiting.
People are bringing up in the chat room how awesome Demon's Crest and Gargoyle's Quest were, and they both. I hope they both come out on either the 3DS or the Virtual Console. I mean,
it's something just really perplexes me with Capcom's latter day Super Nintendo stuff. Where is it? Where's Mega Man X? Where's.
Yeah, and also, I mean, it's not like they gave up on Virtual Console. They have the arcade games that are supposedly coming out early 2011.
Yeah, well, I've been playing Ghosts and Goblins Arcade on the Japanese service already. I mean, they are supporting it. And they did Final Fight 3, which is like not, and came out in 95. But I don't think that anyone was that desperate for that. I mean, I bought it. I played it. It is Final Fight. You know, it is what it is. It's not exactly a very creative kind of game. But yeah, I mean, that some of that stuff I would love to play. Demon's Crest especially.
Yeah.
I mean, Demon's Crest is fucking awesome.
Yeah,
it really is.
It's a Super Nintendo game. It's a little bit – it's kind of a mixture between Mega Man X and Super Metroid.
Yeah. And you get all the different forms, which is cool, too.
Yes. So, yeah, it's like Mega Man in that you, when you beat bosses, you get a form that you can change your gargoyle into. His name's Firebrand. And he gets not just one new power, but like a whole new set of abilities.
Yeah, it's like a different character.
Right.
Almost playing as a different character.
And they're really cool. The Sky one was my favorite, of course, because he can fly. And the levels, there are levels, so it's more like Mega Man in that sense. You choose a level actually from like a set at the beginning, but then each individual level is very exploration based. There's a lot of optional places that you need certain powers to get into, so you can go back to the levels later and get more power ups and things like that.
Order of Ecclesia.
Okay, I'll buy that. But it's also really hard, but fair, I think. And it looks beautiful too. So
I think it's one of the best looking Super Nintendo games. It really is good looking.
We haven't heard from Andy much. I know he's been having some technical problems, Andy.
Yeah, I've been in and out a little bit, but also I haven't played any of the games you guys are talking about.
Well, then what virtual console game would you want to throw out there for people?
Well, so the one game that comes to mind for me is one that Greg talked about on RFN a little bit ago. That it's not even out in the North America, but Fazanadu is a game that I would very much love to come out in North America because I had the cartridge when I was a kid. It fell by the wayside and got sold along with a lot of my other NES stuff when I was in high school. But Fazanadu is one of those really great, at least in my opinion, it was a really great kind of a 2D Zelda 2 style side-scrolling action game. I really loved that game. I, you know, had really good music and had some kind of strangely detailed graphics, especially when you go into the shops. But it's really a really fantastic game. I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Yeah, I enjoyed having no familiarity with it, but it is out in Europe as well, so it must be on its way to America.
I've got to hope it'll be the first virtual console game that I bought in quite a long time.
Well, I mean, one that I actually, I know when Johnny planning for this had the whole thing of like gifting people or receiving them, at least going back to WiiWare for a birthday right around when Bitch or Beat came out, my friend got me that. And then the year before then, I guess we tried to start a tradition and it just ended after 1 year. I bought him Biomiracle
Biomiracle
or whatever it is.
It's Biomiracle Bokuta Upa.
Yeah, that one. But I thought that game was kind of cool because he ended up playing through it, and then when I was over his house, I checked it out too, and it was kind of weird because you're controlling a little baby around, but it was a fun little platformer and one that we probably never would have played if it weren't for Virtual Console.
Can the baby die?
Yes.
Yeah.
I should buy this game.
It is really funny.
Like,
and it's pretty well made, too. It's not a terrible game.
I think I actually had that game too, but I haven't really played it in yet. I got it kind of on a complete whim, and I was so shocked, I think, by what I saw when I booted the game up that I didn't spend a lot of time in there. But I really should go back. I really need to sit down and just sort of play through my backlog of Virtual Console games because I've got quite a few by this point.
Yeah, I keep wanting to do that as well.
A lot of mine say failed to launch from the SD card menu.
Man, that sucks, dude.
That's starting to die on me, I think.
The card itself. Yeah.
No, the Wii.
Really?
Yeah, mine too.
Oh, it's freezing up and crap like that, yeah.
I had trouble with that a couple years ago and sent it in and had to get it repaired. I had to pay like $75.
I will have to, too.
But it was speedy. I mean, they had it back to me in less than a week, I'll say that.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, and frankly, Microsoft did too when I had that problem with my new Xbox Slim. The drive kept opening
it. Oh, yeah, by itself.
You didn't get a box of shoes back?
No, I had no problems whatsoever with it. I have to say I was really impressed. And
he was the delivery guy that screwed it up. Packing label on it.
Well, so we are getting to the last quarter hour here, and so we've got our first caller on, Thomas.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Hey.
I'm fine.
You're right. We can hear your breath a lot. If you have a microphone like on a headset, you might want to move it a little bit farther away.
Sorry about that.
Sure. Is it very late at night for you?
No, it's 9:45.
Okay, not too bad. So did you have a comment about a WiiWare or Virtual Console or something like that?
Yeah, I guess if you haven't already bought it up, I guess I would recommend Swords and Soldiers to anyone.
Yeah, I like that game a lot.
A lot of you might sympathize that, you know, real-time strategy games, they're not for everyone. For me, they're too complicated. So when I hear about this game, Swords and Soldiers, being a sort of streamlined version of the real-time strategy, that's exactly the thing for me. And I'd say it's my favorite WiiWare game. It's got a lot of good strategy. I wouldn't say it's dumbed down. I think I've had a lot of fun with the multiplayer, and I've found a lot of really clever strategies that you can use, so I wouldn't call it dumbed down, just streamlined from the usual strategy game.
It's a very good description, yeah.
It definitely always seemed interesting to me, because that's the one that's like the side-scrolling 2D strategy game, right?
I have this game. It's also on my backlog of things I haven't played yet, but I own.
It's a very DLC descriptive title.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I mean, what's in the game? Swords and Soldiers.
Sure.
Come on.
Well, yeah, but I think to call it a 2D game would be a bit, well, it is 2D, but there's also a layer of depth where there's, sometimes you come to these intersections where there's an upper route and a lower route, and you click on a signpost to let you go up or down, and so there's a lot of tactics that can come out of that.
Is it like parallax layers, or is it just like you go to a different screen?
Well, no, it's more, it shows both paths are running in parallel.
Oh,
and then
cool.
The sign that's pointing up or down, you click it, and that changes where the sign's pointing, and then all the soldiers that walk past that sign will go either the upper or the lower part.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, that's true. It's not strictly 2D. I hadn't thought about that, but you're right. And by the way, Swords and Soldiers, it's been on WiiWare for a long time. That's where it debuted, but you can also get it on PSN now for your PS3.
Not sure how the controls would translate over to PS3.
Right, I don't know. And it may even work on PSP. Some games do on PSN. And then you can also get it on Steam.
Yeah, I've noticed that. I think that would be a much better fit.
Probably, yeah. And you can probably get a really good deal on it on Steam, especially this time of year. They do a lot of sales on Steam.
Yeah, Steam's ridiculous.
Yeah. All right, Thomas, would you like to win a prize?
Sure.
You seem to know a lot about WiiWare. Have you ever played the Bit Trip series?
I've played some.
All right. Not then. One of them. All right. Well, this question really applies to, I think, all of the games in the Bit Trip series. But I'll specifically ask about Fate. So which score multiplier from Bit Trip Fate is the best possible status that you can have? Here are your options. Multiple choice. Hyper, Super, Nether, Mega, Giga, Ultra, or Extra?
If it's similar to the other Bit Trip games,
I think it is the same order in all of them.
Then I haven't played any of them in a while, and I don't have that particular game. I have beat Void and Runner, so
sure.
Let's try and dredge my memory.
Do you want to hear the list again?
Maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I'll hear the list again.
All right, the list is Hyper, Super, Nether, Mega, Giga, Ultra, or Extra?
I'm going to guess Hyper.
Hyper? I'm sorry, that's not correct. The right answer is Giga.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a tough question because I've been critical of this ever since Bit Trip Beat, but all these names that they throw up there in the corner, they all basically mean the same thing other than Nether. At least in Fate, it's Giga. And I
think
this.
In Runner, Extra is the highest you can go. Don't quote me on that, but I think it is Extra because I'm just trying to think of the voice whenever you're playing that game. The Extra?
Extra.
And I think that usually happens near the end if you do good.
Orgasm.
Giga may not be in Runner. I'm not sure. And that's why I specifically said Fate. But I think the sequence of them is the same in all of the games, basically. But Nether is the worst. That's where it usually goes black and white, or at least it gets fuzzy. That's when you're about to die. And in Fate, Giga is the best you can have. It's been one of my criticisms of that series is that it's very hard to tell how well you're doing because all of the words that they use pretty much mean the same thing.
Well, I mean, you can tell by the screen and how, like, the colors and what's
going
on.
Yeah, sort of. But it's
especially
hard to...
in Runner, but Runner's definitely the best of the series, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, thank you, Thomas, for calling in, and thanks for your comment, too, on Swords and Soldiers.
Yeah, that's fine.
All right, thanks for listening, and maybe if we get to the gamer quiz especially, I think you'll have plenty of chances to win a prize a little bit later. And so now we have to say goodbye to Thomas, and
hey,
I think...
Dude.
Hmm?
I'm saying goodbye.
Yep, goodbye. And the next person, I believe, let's see if we can get...
Drum Bomb
in here. We have time for about one more caller before we have to transition to Game of the Year.
It's on.
Let's see. I lost my my list of people who are on the call. That's kind of weird.
Disconcerting.
It's extremely strange.
We've got a lot of money to raise for the next hour after Game of the Year, by the way, guys.
Yes, we do.
The better part of $750 of this. That's the kind of increments that we're talking about now. So
yep.
People are going to have to get – it's going to have to get pretty quick now, the rate, if you want the gamer quiz. That is
– For sure. Drumbum, are you on the line? Can you hear us?
Yes, I am.
All
Hello.
Right.
Hey, look at that.
I'm told you've been having trouble all day trying to get in, so I'm glad you made it.
Yeah, I don't know. A lot of confusion about who to talk to. So.
I understand. It's a complex process we've got going on here.
Yeah, but it's all good. How are you guys?
I'm glad you were persistent. I'm glad you made it on. We're doing really well.
Welcome to the show.
I just woke up.
Yeah. Zach's doing really well.
Well, I mean, I've had a good day. I just booked my wedding.
So, Drumbone, what did you want to talk about?
I guess this is kind of loosely related to all your VC talk, but I was thinking about recently nostalgia and how it's like judging games when later games come out in the series, like between, let's say, Super Metroid and, like a lot of people say, is their favorite Super Nintendo game, and Zero Mission, which is probably my favorite in the series.
Hell yeah.
I'm kind of weird because I came in really habitually playing games when the Wii came out. So I've had to go back and play all of these other games on Virtual Console, which is a great thing about the system.
It is amazing.
Yeah.
I find that all these games that people hold up on a pedestal, like Super Metroid, and my other example was, Ocarina of Time, I find I like the other games better in the series that people tend to shit on, basically like Twilight Princess. I love that game.
I like Twilight Princess plenty. I dislike Twilight Princess.
I liked it a lot. I just never want to replay Twilight Princess, and that's my beef with
it. I have issues with it, mainly not so much in the execution, just in what it could have been and isn't, probably, is the best way to put it.
I think one of the biggest different things when you this issue of the disconnect between games you played ages ago, games you play now, and then for another person that plays them more side by side, is I think the more nuts and bolts issues are more important to them. You know, like for instance with Zero Mission and Super Metroid. For me, Zero Mission just plays better. The controls are better.
Yeah,
it plays faster.
Exactly.
And that sort of thing is much more apparent when you play them close together than it is if you played Super Metroid the mid-90s and then play Zero Mission, you know, pretty much 10 years later. You know, that kind of, you know, very obvious tangible difference isn't so obvious because the how Samus handled in Super Metroid is just like a foggy memory at that point. So I think that's definitely one of the reasons why you get this sort of thing.
Well, I'm curious to hear if
for me.
I'm curious, Drumbum, if you say you're going back and playing a lot of the games on Virtual Console, but have you gone back to play some of the GameCube games? Like for instance, I'm curious to hear what you would think of something like Wind Waker and compared to Twilight Princess.
I have always wanted to play Wind Waker. I've played both DS ones. I really
you
like
should go out and buy it now and play through it because it's the best Zelda ever made.
I'm going to go that far. But
I am with Carl on this one. Hell yeah.
Well, I just think like even mechanically and comparing the graphics and the sounds and like the visual quality, the presentation, I guess I should say, a lot of the best games from the GameCube era stand up side by side just as tall, if not even in some cases taller than a lot of the better ones from the Wii era, like the Star Wars game that launched with the GameCube, Rogue.
That's
Rogue
still League. The best. I still think that's the best looking GameCube game.
I agree.
Yeah, it's the best looking Wii game.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, now it looks Rogue Squadron looks amazing. Rogue Squadron 2, Rogue Leader. And if you've never played it and you like Star Wars, go find a copy right
now. You
can
find it for like $6 at GameStop.
It's incredible. It's a really amazing game. And Wind Waker, completely agree. If you've never played Wind Waker and you like Zelda, you really have to because it's a very special experience. The presentation of it is really not like anything else. And even if you've played the DS games, I think they really pale.
Oh, it's pretty different.
Sundalo really just said in the chat about how Wind Waker has aged a lot better than the other Zelda games from the time, and I would totally agree. I think the art style is timeless. And I mean, I still don't
also
really
has, like it also has the best storytelling. I think
definitely.
I mean, it's by no means my favorite Zelda, but you have to play it.
Yeah,
I mean, because it is just, I think, really, out of all of Nintendo's games, probably the most effective storytelling they've ever done.
The only part of the whole game I don't like is in the beginning when you have to sneak around.
Yeah.
There's the issue of the Triforce.
Well, it's a lot better than the...
Oh, I don't mind that. I really
delete the village in Twilight Princess.
It's absolutely awful.
But I like treasure hunting anyway, so that was like, ooh, now I get to
treasure hunting. But what about paying for the map?
Never bothered me as much as
okay, paying for the map sucked. I agree with that.
Because I think actually, though, it was somewhat toned down from the Japanese version. The Japanese version, because it came out in December of 2002, a few months earlier, I think they realized that there was another layer to it. even, I think, to the hunt that is some sort of intermediate layer that made it even worse. So, yeah, I think we might have got off a little bit easy there. But I still find that to be just shameful.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely there's like two bottlenecks in that game, in my opinion. I don't like the Forsaken Fortress. I think that's the name of the stealth part.
Right.
And then the Triforce point. But every other part of that game is so good.
There are so many scenes in it that just stick with you. You know,
yeah.
Like when you first go down to when you're exploring the black and white castle in Hyrule, that's just so amazing.
Yeah, it's storytelling wise, it can't be beaten. I don't think for anything Nintendo's done. So whether you ends up being your favorite Zelda game or not, or who knows? But you got to play it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I definitely try to.
And Drumbum, do you have a real name?
Yes. Oh, my name's Anthony.
Anthony.
Hey,
okay.
Anthony.
Yes.
Would you like to win a prize?
A fabulous prize.
I have a question for you. You have about 15 seconds to answer this.
Don't mess up, dude.
Okay. I will try my best.
What kind of sensor technology is used in Wii Motion Plus and the Wii Remote Plus to detect rotation?
A gyroscope.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Woo! Awesome.
Yay! I also would have accepted MEMS, which is microelectromechanical structures. But yeah, gyroscope is fine.
Okay, awesome.
The winner is you.
The winner is me. So what prize would you like from the list on the blog?
Let's see. Let's scroll down here. I think I will take you up on one of your WiiWare/VC games, and I can get back to you about that at a later time, right?
You can, yes. Just make sure that we have your contact information so we can get back in touch with you.
All right.
Uncle Bob is providing those, and he will need your Wii system number. You do have a US Wii, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Because unfortunately, the gifting process is region locked, so that's the one prize we have that really is only for U.S. people, and it's not by our choice. But
I scuppered my wedding present for John.
Oh dear! All right. Well, congratulations, and thanks for calling in, Anthony.
Thank you. I love the show. I've been listening to RFN probably since like the 30s. So
wow!
Awesome.
Now you were a trooper to get through some of that.
Carly.
103. 103. That's all I have to say.
Yes, we're trolling Carl right now. He's in the chat.
103, everyone's favorite mistake.
All right. And, thank you so much for calling in and being a fan.
Yeah, thank you guys.
All right.
Yeah, have a good one.
Thanks, Anthony.
Yeah.
Okay, that is going to bring the segment to a close, people. Neil, Zach, Andy, thank you very much.
Do we get to say Super Nintendo love?
Yeah, come on, we got to get you on the record just in case the donations don't come in time.
Yeah, I'll make mine quick. Super Mario RPG is definitely my favorite Super Nintendo game. I have a lot of good memories of that game when I was younger, and I'd still, up until I joined this site and had less free time to play games I wanted to play, I used to play it yearly, and I love the crap out of that game. And Yoshi's Island and Star Fox are also some of my other favorite Super Nintendo games. So, yeah.
Nice.
Excellent.
I like my Yoshi's Island. That game blew me away and blows me away every time I play it now.
Good.
And Donkey Kong Country. I really still enjoy Donkey Kong Country. I don't know why it gets so much hate now.
It's a divisive game.
I don't think it deserves hate at all. It's solid enough, but compared to the more inspired games on the Super Nintendo, it's not, you know, it was a razzle-dazzle game.
I played it
when I was younger. I've played it recently. It's not that it's bad. It's just kind of like meh. Like, it's a good game, but it's not a great game.
Well, I think the reason that people still like it so much, and it was Juan who called in earlier and was asking Craig about the music in that game.
Yeah, but the music is wonderful, though.
You can boot up that. You can boot up Donkey Kong Country now on Super Nintendo or Virtual Console or GBA or GB Color or whatever.
Yeah, that's land.
The graphics may not hold up very well, and the level design might seem like more of a problem these days. But the music does sound amazing even now. And I think that's a big part of it, you know. And Rare is very good at that. They use music to make their games more lovable. And I'm not saying their games aren't good in the first place, but they're more lovable because of the music. And it really sticks with people over many, many years. So
Definitely.
Yeah.
Maybe an obvious choice, but I'd have to go with Link to the Past. It's such an such an obvious choice. I mean, well, that game just strikes back the nostalgia in me.
It's so excellent.
You know how, and maybe it's just certain games, but like when a new system comes out and like the Super NES or the N64, and you see that first generation of games that look way better than anything you're used to seeing to that point.
Yeah.
No matter how much time goes by after that, when I go back and look at those games like Mario 64 and Super Mario World and Link to the Past, even though that was a little bit later, I still feel like those games blow me away visually, no matter how dated they are by, you know, any other standard to anybody else. Like when I walk outside in the beginning of Link to the Past and that rain's falling down, the sound effects for that rain and just the way it looks in the screen, it's instantly like I'm back and I'm in junior high or grade school or whatever, however old I was when that game came out again. It was pretty early
in the Super NES. I think it was like
92, right?
91 in Japan, 92 in America. It's not like now we have to wait till the end of the system's life for the first actual Wii Zelda.
Right.
I mean, that for me was one of the probably the first time I actually got drawn into
to a video game Pish said in the chat.
It was actually pretty effective with the storytelling for the instruments that it had with at the time. And again, the music was a not inconsiderable part of that.
Indeed.
All right, well, Andy, Neil, Zach, thank you so much. Zach, I believe, is assigned to the next segment.
Okay.
Are you okay with that, Zach?
I'm fine. Yeah, my wife's a Fred Meyer. I got nothing to do.
The newscast game of the year show, man, so I volunteered you for it.
Yep. Well, Zach plays a lot of games throughout the year that might be eligible, so I thought he'd be a good person. And Neil, if we make it to Gamer Quiz, Neil will be back.
Yeah, I'll be back in an hour if you guys give us.
But we got to need a lot more targets to make that
happen.
What's
the target?
$700.
We need what is it? 160? Is it 100? How much do we need? It's a lot.
700.
Oh, 2,500.
Yeah.
All right. We got a ways to go.
See you guys later.
So.
If not, thanks for having me on for this hour. And
thanks guys. It's been fun.
Before you guys go, you want to plug Newscast?
Yeah, we have a new episode.
The next episode
came out
just
today.
Went up.
There you go.
Yes,
so
did.
If you're all upset that there's not going to be a new RFN on Sunday this week, well, you should be here. If not, you can listen to Newscast.
Indeed.
And Andy dies. Andy dies on this episode.
4 times. He even died today just to show you guys how much fun it will be.
It was a preview, yeah.
There's some sort of like a record in the Guinness book for amount of a podcast that you edit out and put onto the stinger compared to the actual content of the show.
Yeah, the I haven't actually looked at the episode yet.
If I'd edited 103, it would have set the record.
No, it wasn't as bad as it could have been, actually, but I had to delete a fair portion of that show. Hmm. It was a little crazy.
That was a great show. There was a part where I think Nathan said that it's going to be a 5-minute show and a 45-minute stinger.
Well, John describes it as a very special newscast. Not that he's heard it, but it's an after-school special newscast. So, yes, if you've never heard the newcast, you should definitely sign up for that.
And everybody learns a lesson.
Oh, and Johnny, one more thing. Good luck to your Auburn Tigers tonight.
Thank you. They're playing right there. I believe they're up 14-7 right now.
Oh, they're already –
I have
started.
A friend texting me updates because I have too much going on to check the score.
I'm headed
right
out to watch the Big 12 championship here in just about an hour or so.
Yep. All right. Well, good luck to your Huskers then.
Thank you very much, sir.
Alrighty. All
right. Later, man.
See you later.
Later, everyone.
All right. Now, we are gotta make some adjustments here. Let's see.
My little brother's in the chat right now.
So, oh, really? That's great.
I'm saying that to embarrass him.
Oh, nice. All right. So, Neil is gone, and Andy is gone. And Zach's still on, and I believe we are adding James. Unmute yourself. James, are you here?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right.
James has returned.
Well, I had to
You're a little bit quiet.
So $650, isn't it? Is that what we're currently away from?
We can do it, man. Believe.
Well, let's hope so. There's lots of prize. There's going to be prize bonanza on the Gamer Quiz.
Oh, I know.
You can get all sorts of cool stuff.
We got No More Heroes 2, Madden 11. We got all these awesome games that we need to give away. Like Crystal Bears. I don't know if that's awesome, but you know
something.
Trackmania. really good stuff. So we got to get some prizes, and I am out of trivia questions. I might need to write a couple more for this next segment. But game of the year time. And James, I need to download your list here, and I have to actually step out for just a minute. So I'm going to let you kick this off.
Oh.
And I'll be back in just a minute.
Okay. So
it's all up to you, James. It's all up to you.
This is your job, right?
But it's my job to come up with the rules in which we orchestrate this horrible decision of mankind.
Yeah, this discussion is just going to be like a primer, right? For, you know, we're not going to be deciding anything today, but we're going to be talking about our personal choices and, you know.
Winner is Darksiders. There you go.
It's nothing official for the site.
No,
that is.
This is by no way, shape, or form really influencing anything we do in terms of the site awards.
There's going to be a whole other process.
A different
for that
thing. Yeah, yeah.
This is a preliminary discussion based on our own personal
EA process, which here there isn't. And generally speaking, we pretend to have one and don't. So this year there are plans for a real process that failure to follow will result in severe punishment. But what this year is kind of an odd year about how they've distributed their games on the
definitely. Yeah, well, I think there's a bit of a Zelda shaped hole at the end of the year. But,
well, the Zelda shaped hole that I anticipated over a year ago.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, absolutely. I'll give it to you, James. They've hit the target.
Never. Never, ever.
Ever. Just, I think they really proved it this time. If they couldn't hit it this time, they never will.
It's like a law. It's like the you don't need to reserve Nintendo consoles law. It's like, no, it's a thing you never say.
Yes.
They front-loaded a few games on the Nintendo schedule this year, and then they backloaded a bunch of 2D platformers because that's just kind of how it went down. And what we have is, obviously, at the start of the year, there's Galaxy. That's kind of
It was in the middle. I mean, it was in.
I still need to play that.
It was in the front half of the year, basically.
Sure.
But then we had Monster Hunter in that kind of same area.
March.
Yeah.
Yes, it was right after PAX, I think. So
yes.
The demos came out the week of PAX, and
really, the more important thing that came out of Monster Hunter was the Classic Controller Pro.
Well, but then obviously you've already had the two games we spoke about later in the year. But there's a bunch of other games, and if you have the list open, which none of you do, I'm sure.
Yes.
You have the top half of my list, which is all Wii games that I basically picked out based on review scores, although not necessarily our review scores because I couldn't. And our search page doesn't work quite that way to make this easy enough. So I'll just run through the games that I haven't already mentioned real quick. Epic Mickey, which I don't think we really have a whole lot to say about because I don't know people here who have actually played it.
Yeah.
It's GoldenEye, which we spoke about earlier.
There's
Tatsunoko that we talked about on the podcast a bunch of times.
Yeah, sure. And I had the import version as well.
It's a good game.
Yeah.
It has a short lifespan, though.
I mean, it is what it is. So
it wouldn't be my choice, but
no,
me neither.
It's a mentionable game, and then obviously we have Sin and Punishment that came out in July, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in America, it was July, and then in Europe, it was like May or something. And for some reason,
we had the two action games early in the year: No More Heroes 2 and Red Steel 2. We have our normal collection of sports games with Tiger Woods, which always seems to get a high review on the Wii.
Last year's game was very good. I assume that this year's is much the same.
Yeah, this one was a fun game.
We have NHL Slapshot, which is a new addition to the standard sports games on Wii, as well as NBA Jam, both of which are more arcade-based sports games.
Slapshot's the one with the plastic hockey stick,
right? Yep.
Yes, and Wayne Gretzky on the cover.
I would say I've heard pretty good things about that game.
It's gotten good reviews, which is why
it's on Gretzky on the cover?
Why I see it.
It's Gretzky on the cover looking like he just used money to get a facelift from his white skin.
Yeah, that's why I wonder.
With Lindemann.
Trauma Team is an interesting inclusion. I have to admit, I haven't gone back to it since I first played it. I just haven't had time, and I really want to because I thought it was great. What I played.
Yeah, I've just started playing it. I'm really loving it.
It's an absolute shame that this game apparently is never going to come out in Europe. It doesn't make
any sense. Yeah, it doesn't look like it. Although, I mean, the other Trauma games have come out on pretty whopping delay, so never say never. It could just show up in 2012 or something.
There's that's a long time.
There's a lot of voice acting in this one.
There's a lot of content that translated. I mean, it's about 25 or so hours long, I think. I think that was what my time on it was when I finished.
Yeah, that's much longer than any of the previous Trauma Center games.
That's long.
Much.
By any standard except for JRPGs, that's a long time. Hmm. And by that standard, it's a reasonable game. So I guess we probably just start going through the Wii, and feel free to pick out any other games in there that in that list that you thought were interesting. I didn't read them all because there's a lot of – there's 22 of them to be exact.
Well, have you mentioned Monster Hunter yet?
Yeah, you mentioned.
Okay, because I know people in the chat really wanted us to, and I don't know if any of us –
No, I've played Monster Hunter.
I own it. I just
– Okay. Greg, I didn't even know that you had it at all.
We discussed it on an episode you weren't here. How your memory works, doesn't it?
My memory barely works at all.
It's the kind of game where you either really get into it or you drop it pretty quick because you can't.
Yeah, I played it for quite a few hours to start with, and just, you know, it was one of those things where you start playing something else and didn't go back. You know, it's kind of difficult to glide back into that one.
And if you're not able to really get online a lot with it, it's not really...
Yeah, and the whole region lockout thing doesn't help with that at all. I mean, obviously, it's a certain amount of I think it did relatively decently in Europe and stuff. But especially for me, with the website and all that, it'd be fun to play with John. It'd be fun to play with Zach or people.
Are you sure? Are you really sure?
I'm gonna take that leap of faith. Yeah, I'm gonna go out on a limb and say that.
John frequently, and well, not frequently, but multiple times. I think it's a lot of fun to play with him.
So, but you can't do it because it's region restricted. So that didn't help keep me playing either. But there's plenty of very commendable things about the game for what I played of it.
Yeah, it is a good game, well made game. It's just the kind of game that I couldn't really get into.
It was weird for me that it was two competing elements. You had the sort of the boss battle kind of character of it, which really appeals to me. Yeah. And then the very grindy RPG-ness of it, which doesn't appeal to me at all, especially.
I'm the same way.
So it was a kind of push-pull kind of game for me.
And in order to get to the point where you can fight the bosses, you really have to grind the hell out of the game.
Mm.
I have concern about this game as a long-term candidate because obviously the online activity of it is going to drop off as the game ages.
It's something you have to consider.
It's been incredible, though, in terms of just how much the people who own it have played it. Because Nintendo Channel stats have already got it passing Brawl as the sort of champion of average playtime.
Well, because who are like hardcore Monster
Hunter. Oh, yeah, but I mean, I'm just saying, there's people like me, I play Brawl every bloody week. You know, that number must be huge by now, and there's people like me out there. So, for Monster Hunter to pass that, when it's only been out since April this year, is kind of insane.
Yeah, I think
it's how much the people who are really into that game really love it.
Yeah, as I think there's a much more casual audience for Brawl than there is for
Monster Hunter. Yeah, there is.
If you bought Monster Hunter, you're already a sick bastard. I mean, you know.
Hey, I bought it for the classic controller and the dinosaurs, man.
That you killed?
Yes, that I slaughtered brutally.
But you know what I mean. I mean, if you're buying that game, you knew that you were buying this game to play for a lot.
Yeah, that's
versus
true.
Brawl, where you could conceivably
buy it. No, I know. I just think it's an interesting stat. Because there's not all that many metrics on how much people have played certain games or whatever. I think it shows that it's been successful in the way that you would expect, the way it would intend to be successful, to really draw a certain kind of crowd in. But it's worth, it was worth mentioning, certainly.
Yeah.
So have we brought up GoldenEye yet?
I mentioned
just pass it over.
So, yeah. Greg, I know you've played a lot, and we didn't have time in New Business for you to talk about it. Would this be one of your contenders for Wii Game of the Year?
It's not. It is in the conversation.
I mean, you're not a huge first-person shooter guy.
It's kind of like, I'd say it's in the wild card team kind of bracket rather than your one or two seed. I'm not a first person guy, right? That's the fact of it. So it's never gonna hit that hard with me. But having said that, I really enjoyed it. I've played through the whole campaign on the easiest difficulty, and I've got about two-thirds the way through the next difficulty up. And this is kind of how I did the original GoldenEye. I eventually did everything on the original GoldenEye. 00 Agent, incredibly difficult. Maybe that soured me on first-person shooters forever, I don't know. But I've really enjoyed this. As a one-player game, I've played some split-screen multiplayer. It becomes a hell of a lot more fun when you go from two to three. It really is a good laugh, and it does replicate some of the throwback kind of fun of the N64 game at that point. But with the single player, I mean, first of all, I've been using the Wii remote controls. I kind of customized them to a point that I was really happy with them. In terms of, I tended to have the cursor sensitivity not too high, but the horizontal turning speed nice and fast, and make sure that you haven't got too much vertical flexibility because I don't want to be looking at the ceiling. And I really like the fact that you've got separate settings for the aiming down sights thing. Because that,
that is nice.
Yeah.
You can tailor that nicely for the different situations. So I've got to a point where the controls feel really good. Because I'm not that good with dual analog controls. I managed to beat Killzone 2 on the middling difficulty. But I mean, that's very slow paced. It's kind of deliberate shooter, that one, Killzone 2. Mm-hmm. So I think something faster paced, I'd probably struggle with dual analog, whereas I've taken to this quite well after I made some tweaks with the settings. And in terms of the game itself, I like the pacing. I like the fact that the level designs are pretty focused, but they're not completely directing you down one single line. You can kind of poke around a bit, and you have to for the extra objectives.
The extra stuff, yeah.
Which, I mean...
And there are a lot of large open rooms where enemies can and will sort of go around you and sneak up behind you.
Yeah, eventually. Yep. I mean, definitely on the lower difficulties at least. There's times where it's like, yeah, they could be making up ground on me pretty easily here, but they're not. But they will flank you eventually, and if you kind of dilly-dally around. And one of the other things that kind of surprised me about it, actually, was that even though it is like kind of like a video game of some weird non-existent remake of the movie, it does recall the movie in ways that the N64 game couldn't, because certain locations like Statue Park or the archives and all that are just so much more believable and actually representative of what was in the movie, because obviously N64's geometry and the real estate it had to play, right? You just couldn't create levels that were really that faithful.
Well, and also keep in mind, on the N64 it had no voice acting at all.
No voice, yeah.
No video clips, none of that, really slick interstitial stuff between levels that shows you the map and where you're flying to. It really, I mean, with the newer technology, they can really tell a better story, and I think that's why it feels more like the movie, because they can use more movie style techniques.
Yeah, so I mean, I was really quite pleased with the single player, to say the least. So, and I'm not done with it yet. I think I'll keep playing it probably after I've spent a bit more time banging my head against the wall and pounding my chest with DK. But I'll get there. So, for someone who's not a first person guy, to enjoy it as much as I have, must say something about its quality.
Yeah.
I really like the online. I play it almost every day.
Yeah, see, that I haven't got into much yet.
I think that's fantastic.
I got cut because time.
Sure. We got a lot of games to talk about.
We need to settle the, at least not settle, but discuss, be done with Wii.
Yeah, we need to cover the big hitters here. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure our panel will be very divided on other M, but it would probably be in like my top three for Wii.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's not my favorite game of the year. Certainly not my favorite Metroid game, but I had a really good time with it. I really did.
Yeah, I had a very good time with it.
Other than the storytelling, I have pretty few criticisms of it, really. I think it's very good.
All right, so that panel was super divided.
And Zach, I mean, James, I know you have no interest, but Zach was pretty critical of it, and for reasons that, for things that I don't bother me, but...
But I think they're very real.
Absolutely. I'm not. Yeah, I'm not.
I mean, You know, I really can't argue with it. It's a bit like the motion control thing with DK on the one I saw. I'm not going to argue that it's real.
Oh my gosh, why is it in there?
It just doesn't ruin it. I can only be honest. I am still enjoying it.
Me too. It feels like something that Nintendo said you have to put this in.
Yeah.
No sane person would put it in.
It's difficult to account for it any other way.
Johnny, do you want to add Billy?
Yeah, sure. We can get Billy on here. Go ahead, Nat. As long as the call will handle it.
It'll be fine.
I'm very happy to have Billy on.
There you go.
Billy.
Hello.
Welcome back, sir. Billy Berghammer on the line.
Hi.
The founder of our very website, people.
Oh, my gosh.
I hope everyone knows that. Billy's the reason that we're here right now.
It's the website, people.
Billy, you weren't here, but earlier when we were talking about Craig Harris, I brought up a couple stories from that IGN affiliate party where we basically met back in 2000.
Was that an IGN? We met at...
It was at the we met at the Sapphire party the night before, but then we really didn't talk with each other, I think, until the affiliate party at the Ritz-Carlton.
This is true.
Yeah.
I'm an old man. I forget these things.
Yeah, that was 10 years ago. That's why I came to work for Planet in 2000.
And I have to apologize for being really crabby this morning. I am not, as some people here know, I am not a morning person. So
me neither, dude. It's more morning for you than it is for most of us. So
for me to say that GoldenEye looks like shit, I want to go back on that.
We can't.
Stick to it. Hate sells, man. Stick to it.
It's not as – it's just I wish it was in higher res. I guess that's – you know, and I know that's such a – you know, it looks good on the Wii thing. But, like, you know, I just wish it was in higher resolution because the game is pretty solid. And the multiplayer I love, I just wish I could see enemies better.
You know, so I think that's a fair criticism, yeah, Billy, no, in I this agree. Case because it is a realistic-looking game. It's not cartoony like Mario. So – it's a case where, because of the art style, the resolution makes a difference.
Yeah, and you know when I see pixels and stuff, I'm just like, oh, Christ, we're back to that shit again. It looks like a PS2 game, you know, like, you know. But I love the game, and I'm hoping to. Johnny, I'm hoping to play a little bit later tonight. So, you know,
we'll see. Probably be arranged.
Did your football team lose, by the way?
No, we are ahead right now. As far as the last I heard, we were up 21-7.
All right, I'll have to make some calls. We'll get that soon.
So these gaming syndicates need to be brought into it.
So Billy, we've been talking about our Game of the Year nominees for Wii. What jumps out at you? We actually did bring up Monster Hunter. I know that would probably be high on your list.
There is a Mario game that I would say would be my Game of the Year for sure.
Yeah, I haven't brought that up yet because truth be told, it kind of wins it at a canter for me.
I mean, that game, I had, you know, I had some gripes with it, but I haven't played all the Wii games this year. So, sure. Going back to Donkey Kong Country and Kirby, I've yet to play those two games, but they are on my list after I beat World of Warcraft.
that'll be soon.
Can you even beat World of Warcraft? Is that possible?
I guess some dude did. I guess some guy did.
Oh, if you get all the achievements?
I think if you get all the achievements and you literally do every quest, I don't know. I mean, I
think you beat World of Warcraft when your family and friends abandon you and your dog's dead because you haven't fed it in a while.
Yeah, I would agree. But Galaxy 2, I had so much fun with it. Even with the levels that were regurges that you had to do the challenge levels, like those pissed me off.
Yeah, comets and stuff. Yeah,
yeah, those comets I thought sucked. Like that was the only part of the game that I thought.
Yeah, I mean we've talked about it before. The thing that just kills me about Galaxy 2 is that it has so many ideas in it, and yet you know it just recycles certain ones purely just to get to 120. It's just for that number because it's been in the series before. It's just ridiculous. Like, would we all be so crestfallen if there were 96 stars in this game just to pick another random number from Mario's past? You know,
yes, but I would start throwing shit.
You know, but to me, that is a minor blemish on so good.
My biggest issues with the game were the stupid trash destroying levels, like those.
Oh, those are awful in the first game too.
Yeah, well, they did. It's another point we've talked about before: bringing stuff back, making it better. I mean, when you throw the fireball through the boxes, it's a lot better than throwing the bombs at the trash, because it's just going along a line rather than having to actually find the precise depth to throw it at as well. It was better. It still wasn't that good. You know, they went, you know, and the B suit and all these other things that they said, yeah, you went and made it better. Great. But, you know, maybe in a new game, you didn't have to do that so slavishly and go and make everything as much better as you could make it, when maybe you just say it's a new game, we can leave some things behind. You know, there was just this adherence to certain precedents I felt was unnecessary. But the vast, vast body of the game is just so edgy. I consumed that game. I gorged on
it. I need to play it.
Very seldom do.
My only regret with that game is that I didn't get to do that. I did gorge on it. That's partly the problem.
But it was probably a bit too much too soon. Yeah. But I would have. I had the World Cup going on at the time. I mean, I had to fight to find time to play it, but I did, because it was so good.
100 stars and 50 real world hours was not healthy.
The pressures of reviewing a game can affect your enjoyment of it, and sometimes you have to pull yourself out of that experience a little bit and say, how would I feel about this game if I were playing it like a normal person?
Like a sane individual.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. For some people, probably were happy to play it that quickly, you know, in the span of 2 days. But
it's so brutal.
Yeah.
It is. That's a brutal game, especially, you know, you get to those levels or, you know, certain parts of a level and you get stuck. And yeah, and it hurts, especially when you're trying to review the game. You're totally screwed.
So are there any other Wii games anybody wants to talk about before I move us over?
Well, I mean, Johnny, what would you say about Epic Yarn? How seriously would you put it in the discussion?
It would definitely be in my top three, and that's probably as specific as I'm going to get on today. But, you know, I do – from what I've played of both so far, I do like Kirby better than Donkey Kong. Excuse me. And clearly I like really – I mean, my favorite platform of the year would be Super Meat Boy. And maybe even Bit Trip. James didn't put any WiiWare games on here, but Bit Trip Runner would definitely be near the top of my list as well. It's not the same kind of platformer, you know, but I think it's excellent. But for me, you know, Kirby, from a mechanical standpoint, it doesn't have that satisfying challenge that I do like a lot in 2D games, especially. I really crave that. But I think Kirby does something kind of intangible in the way that you enjoy it. And I think it's closer to like Galaxy 2, where it just blows you away with the beautiful colors and the soaring music and just the feeling that, oh my God, I'm in this incredible world. And Kirby does a similar thing in a completely different way. And I really do think that, you know, Kirby's a game where, yes, if it weren't for the graphic style, we probably wouldn't be talking about it at all.
Exactly, yeah. You know? Yeah, I feel like it overstayed its welcome. I 100%ed it, and it really got tedious towards the end.
I can see that. I think it probably could have been edited down a little bit. A couple levels here and there could have been mashed together so that they're a little more dense, you know?
Yeah.
And in some cases, I felt some of the mechanics probably could have been taken advantage of a little bit better, because I'm pretty sure I played every – I didn't get every fabric, but I beat every level. I pretty much 100%ed it too. And there were certain mechanics that, if the game had not been geared so much for families, children, casual players, you know, because clearly with Wario, you know, you can tell those guys know how to make a hard game. And they know how to make a really complex, mechanically driven game. And that's really the kind of game that I like. I think everybody knows that. So, I mean, in a sense, Kirby's very unsatisfying for me, because it's not that intricate. Whether it's difficult or not, in a lot of cases, it doesn't take that much thought to play through, you know? It's just, it's so easy going. It's not just forgiving. It's so easy going that even in the later levels, you're not likely to mess up very often. You know, the platforming never gets really complex the way I kind of like it to be, but it does kind of evoke like a, I don't know, like a, like a, an emotion in you that takes you back to your childhood. And it's something that I don't feel very often. A lot of times when games go for that, I feel like they're kind of pandering and it doesn't work on me. And Kirby is so innocent and yet still fun to play, you know, that it does kind of work a kind of magic on you. And the other thing, and I mentioned this before, but the graphic style is not something that just you see it for 5 minutes and you're like, okay, that's cool. It because of the way things are rendered and the way that you interact with the world, it makes you want to see all the levels. It makes you want to see how different things will be presented. And so it's a thrill that actually lasts throughout the entire game. A bit like Wind Waker, you know? Wind Waker's a game where like I want to go to the ocean dungeon because I want to see how they do that. I've seen it in other Zelda games, but because of this graphic style, it's so pervasive and unified that it makes you want to go see the next thing. And that's
pretty cool. Wind Waker has the gameplay to back it up.
It does, and Kirby is just it is too simple. It's not that it's too easy, but it's too simple for my taste.
Right. Yeah,
but I do too. Really, really like it. And I had more fun with it than I have so far with Donkey Kong, I have to say.
I think this is a good time for me to offer the obvious counterpoint and Champion Sin and Punishment 2 a little bit. Although I played it last year when it was out in Japan. So it's a little difficult for me because it does feel like quite a while ago since I really got into it. But I mean, it's always such a struggle to put this, you know, into the conversation for Game of the Year. You know, I guess like Galaxy 2 are these games that have much broader appeal. But I guess it's a little bit like Monster Hunter in that way, but obviously different from Monster Hunter, but kind of again with this sort of niche sort of appeal. I mean, the best argument that I could make for it is just that, you know, what other game is going to give you what that game gives you as well as it gives it to you? Yeah. I mean, it's so well done. It's so far and away, you know, there's so much more content, there's so much more creativity in it than other games of similar, you know, kind of aim, you know, some sort of all out action game. You know, it stands head and shoulders above most of those kinds of games. And with the, you know, fluidity of the Wii controls and all that, it's a really unique, intense experience. But, you know, it's almost incommensurable with something like Galaxy 2. I find it very difficult to reconcile those two kinds of experiences. But it's probably a bit too narrow in its appeal to really be a serious contender.
I'm going to pull a Billy on this one. I would probably like Sin and Punishment 2 better if it had better graphics. It looks so grungy and dirty that it's distracting for me. And especially because the game depends on you seeing these small enemies and all these bullets coming in at you, I found it just not super comfortable to play because of the visuals.
Yeah, it's a little rough. There's rough areas to it. I mean, I think there's still some cool visual aspects to it. Some of the boss, the creature designs and things like that, certainly more so than the humanoid characters look kind of terrible. But, you know, it's a gameplay first game. I mean, it makes no apologies for that. But yeah, that definitely is the kind of thing that, takes it down a notch in the argument for something like Game of the Year.
So, Just because we need to wrap up on the Wii stuff. My sort of feelings on stuff since I kind of set this out and guided. I have kind of a similar situation with a game like, I didn't put it on the list, but with a game like, I just lost where I was thinking.
Now's a good time to mention that, you know, if we don't get about $600 in donations
in like
this is all going to be over in 25 minutes.
Yeah, it's possible that someone's waiting until the last minute to kind of surprise us. We've done really well though. We really have. I mean, we're up to over $1,900. So, I'm very, very happy with how everything's going.
Yeah. Okay. So,
but we're gonna finish this damn discussion. So,
all right. So this is back where I was getting to. So, like, I have a game like Fragile Dreams, which gameplay wise isn't great, but from a technical standpoint, it and in a design standpoint, it really does sort of have this kind of aura about it that it won't win any categories, even though it probably should just for its sound design, just because it's such a niche title. Mm-hmm. But you know,
you nominate it for Best Foley.
Yeah. its biggest competition is probably Galaxy 2, and I reviewed both games, and I wouldn't even think twice about giving it the award over Galaxy 2. Like it would take me no thought to do it whatsoever.
Really, you enjoyed it more than Galaxy 2.
It's music probably isn't as
in the music category,
in the sound design category.
No, it's the sound category, just because of it's probably isn't as high a budget sound as
but it sounds like it's a kind of game that's a lot more leveraged on that aspect.
Right, they spent much more time on making it ambient and making it really fit the world and making it influence
Galaxy 2 is just very bombastic. Like, there's a really funny amusing thing that I think is hilarious is that there's a final boss theme for it that's really epic. If you listen to it outside the game, it's amazing, but it's that last bit of the Bowser fight which is piss easy and over in 3 seconds you never hear it. They went to all this effort for something. Unless you are woefully inept at the game, you will not hear.
You just don't know what you're doing. You just leave and go to the bathroom. That's pretty much the only chance.
Yeah, I mean, I think Silent Hill Shattered Memories came out in last year in America.
Yeah,
but it was this year in Europe, and I mean, it's a similar. The sound design in that is a very key kind of part of the game. You'd like to see it get that sort of thing get recognition.
Oh, I mean, Shattered Memories would have been, if I had played it last year, it would have been one of my top games of the year last year, for sure.
Yeah, because I didn't play it this year. Nominate Fragile as a top game of the year because its gameplay is not good. Yeah. But from the world design standpoint and the technical categories and how they are not just, you know, part of the trappings of the game, but are part of the gameplay itself, it kind of does something that Mario doesn't really do. I mean, sound is mandatory.
We have to hurry up so we have time for DS games. And
So I'm going to go through the list real fast, and then we can just stop me on one you want to talk about.
Sure, and I just want to note, Kuma was asking about that, and we do have some chat questions here. I don't know if we'll have time to get to all of them, because we do want to have some live call-ins before the end.
We may not have time, but okay. All right, so just stop me if you want to talk about a game. Super Scribblenauts.
No.
I never had much interest in it.
All right. Stop me if you want to talk about one, not if you don't want to talk about one. All right. Mario versus Donkey Kong Mini Land.
I don't think anyone's played it.
WarioWare DIY.
I want to ask Johnny if you liked that game I made.
I don't remember which one you made. Oh, was it the Grapple Them Titties game?
Yes.
Okay. Because Pedro made a lot of weird games and he sent those to me as well.
Oh, okay. I only made the two. I made that and I made one with horned dinosaurs.
I really enjoy the WiiWare channel for that. I never had much interest in making my own games, but I enjoyed playing these guys.
I like that it's difficult, though. I mean,
I do too. It's very deep.
Yeah. All right. So that game, just creatively, is kind of inspiring.
It's great. Yeah.
Yeah. So Leighton Unwound Future, whatever it's called in your region, because it has three different names.
Lost Future. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's a Leighton game. I love it. It's a late game. That's pretty much all there is to it. Picross 3D.
Hell yes. That could very well be my DS game of the year. Picross 3D is insane.
But then you've got DQ9 as well.
I mean, the
titans of time wasting going up.
I know. Yeah, they're completely different games, but they both have the same thing in common, which is that I could not stop playing them. I probably played both for over 100 hours.
Okay.
Picross 3D is incredible, and it's cheap. It's probably $20 now, so you really should go check it out.
It always has been. It's always been $20.
Oh, dude, it's insane value. It's
all right, I got to track that down.
Billy, I don't know if you could – I don't know if it's legal to play WoW and Picross 3D at the same time. Don't you have responsibilities to society?
It will blow your mind. No, I loved Picross, so Picross 3D – I always had it on my radar, but, you know, it's one of those. I should pick that up.
It's so good.
I stopped that game after it kept electrocuting me at PAX. That was pretty much my for that game. Heart Gold, Soul Silver.
Oh, might be my game of the year. I sank over 100 hours into that.
It's a remake. I mean, I'm sure.
I don't care. It's a remake of the best ones, Mom.
Yeah, it's pretty much. Consensus on those games. Four Heroes of Light, I've talked about a lot on the show. It's hard. It's creative. It does things its own way, but it's a very quirky title and it's pretty niche. Mm. Mega Man Zero Collection.
No.
Again, I've talked about it on the show and it made me hurt badly.
I like those games, but I wouldn't want that much of them.
It is a game. It is
I don't think that's officially on sale in Europe, which is bullshit.
You can import it, though.
Yeah, well, I could, but would I get it?
You'd like it, Greg. You would.
Yeah, I would like it. Probably I know would, that. Yeah.
I mean, it's you know, if you like, if you can play Hatsworth, if you can get past the world through boss in Hatsworth, you can play a Mega Man Zero. Okay.
Yeah, that's yeah, I know.
You can. Yeah,
that's awful. All right. Dragon Quest IX. Wait for Sean. Yes.
This actually might be my game of the year. Yeah. I'm still playing it.
It's fantastic. I don't necessarily like it for the same reason that I like Dragon Quest VIII and a lot of the earlier games.
No, right. Yeah.
I think it does something different that, and I don't even know if what it does, if I like that better than, you know, what I like about the other games, but certainly it does what it does extremely well and it's very compelling. And I was very surprised at how sucked into it I got because it's,
me too.
It's very much like a loot dropping kind of, you know, gear grinding game. And I wouldn't have thought that I'd get addicted to that like I did, but it just works really well. And I mean, it looks incredible. I think it, I mean, I feel sorry for Golden Sun because it doesn't look as good as Dragon Quest. And it's coming out a year and a half later than the Japanese launch. So I don't know what happened there, but
I'll talk about it.
Dragon Quest IX. It is
it's spectacular such a good game.
I'll talk about what happened there.
And I think actually at Target, I don't know if this is still going on, but I think at Target you could get it for like $15 or something.
That was a Black Friday thing.
Yeah, it might be over, but good Lord, get it.
Oh, get it right now. Yeah. My God, it's good.
All right. Blue Dragon Awakened Shadow, nobody here played it?
No.
No. It's supposed to be really good. I'll take their word for it.
Oh, really? I hadn't heard anything good about it.
The reviews I saw for it when I was compiling this list were positive.
Hmm.
Dementium 2.
We have a copy of that if anyone wants to win it. Zach, you reviewed that, didn't you?
Dementium 2?
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. I was playing it the wrong way the first time. No, it's
if only really, games came with instruction manuals.
I know, right? But it's really fun. It's maybe not game of the year, but it's a very impressive shooter. And it's got a good atmosphere about it. And looks really fantastic. It's certainly probably game of the year among DS games.
Mm-hmm.
If you like shooters, and I mean these guys really know what they're doing now. Moon was good, and now this is great. So I like it.
All right.
Okay. Edgeworth Investigations. It's weird. It's it doesn't feel as good as a lot of the previous Ace Attorney games, but it's still a relatively fun title.
It's hard to care when you've got Layton versus Phoenix Wright, right?
Yeah, that really – well, you've got – yeah, that pretty much diminishes the appeal of this game. I mean, they've already got a sequel for the Edgeworth game coming out next year, so I mean
– yeah, that's right.
So Edgeworth was in 2009?
No, Ace Attorney Investigations, it came out like January or February of this year.
No, Henry Hatsworth. I thought that came out –
yeah, Hatsworth
that was last year.
Hatsworth was 2009.
Oh, okay. I want to play that –
that was probably my DS game of the year last year.
It won awards last year, so we're moving on.
Yeah.
read the site.
Dark Dawn. I'm disappointed by this game.
That's Golden Sun, Dark Dawn.
That's too bad,
it's still a good game, but it's not The Lost Age. I posted a review. It's basically me crying that it's not The Lost Age.
Well, so James, I think you had mentioned over Thanksgiving we were texting or something and or sexting, and I think you had mentioned that you had been playing Golden Sun. I said, oh, how is it? And you said, well, it's pretty much Golden Sun. I was like, okay, then I don't have to care about it. Cause
it is pretty much Golden Sun, but the story itself isn't as polished as the other games.
That's where we recorded that. Well, that's a new episode.
That's terrifying because I don't like the story at all in the first Golden Sun.
Characters
look good, James? Is it a good-looking game?
It uses the graphics. I mean, they don't explicitly say this, but you can tell it's using the graphics engine from the Zelda games.
Hmm.
You can a lot of the texture. Wow. Oh, that texture is from a Zelda game because I've seen that texture before.
Interesting.
And then I tacked on a game after I sent out the list because this is my list. I'm putting Infinite Space on there because I just love the amount of customization that's available in that game and all the stuff you can do. And there's a lot of things in that game.
Infinite number of stuff and things
and places to go.
There are somebody did the math one time of how many configurations of your fleet there are, and yeah, it is pretty much infinite. But its clunky controls can be kind of obnoxious, and it's really hard.
Well, I'm glad you're championing that, because I mean that I don't think many people played Infinite Space, but you liked it so much. I'm glad you're bringing it up.
There was a number of reviews that were very, very positive.
It is a really good, really difficult game that does something that's completely unavailable on the DS and really on.
Hey, Kelsey, can you turn down your audio, please?
I think we have a caller.
Yes, I'm prepping. I'm trying to be one step ahead.
Don't spoil what's going on there.
We have a lot of people who are trying to call in, and we don't have a whole lot of time left.
No. Yeah. Otherwise, I would have regaled you all with my defense of the Skycrawler so I could piss Johnny off. But we're not going to do that.
Tell you what, we've got these four people queued up. Circus Survivor, Yoshi Lover, Anand, and Sithman, Dave. And let's just go ahead and guarantee that all of you are going to get a chance to call in as long as we don't have any technical problems. And then we'll have to cut the show off after that. Unless we get
a lot of money quick.
About almost $600 in the next 15 minutes.
$600 away.
It could happen. It could happen.
Children.
We need a benefactor.
Children, come on.
And by the way, James, I'll let you go ahead and prep for this, but since I'm out of trivia questions and it looks like we probably won't get to Gamer Quiz, can you use some of those questions for some live call-ins?
Maybe. We might be saving them. Let's... but I can come up with the
now trivia. Is a good time to make use of them, James. So, okay.
Wow, look at the money just bump up. Somebody wants some trivia.
Did it really?
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. Kelsey, are you there?
Hey,
what's up?
Not much. Just playing some Donkey Kong Country, drinking a Newcastle, listening to the show.
Perfect. It's perfect Saturday. You turn on the Auburn game right and you're set.
Sir.
All right. So what did you have a comment or a question for us? What would be your game of the year picks that you'd like to hear us talk about?
Man, well, I haven't played much. I've made some bad purchasing decisions this year.
Types of a lot of it. I'm not proud of types.
Picked up Red Steel over Mario Galaxy 2, which
I'm so sorry.
And now you can get Red Steel for $10.
Yeah, I know. I paid poorly spent the Motion Plus. So.
Or you could save your $10 and be happy.
Yeah. Or I could donate it to Child's Play.
Right. You can donate it to Child's Play.
That's right. So probably Donkey Kong Country Returns for me right now. I love the original games, and this one just blows the other three out of the water. So.
Yeah.
Fair enough. So, I mean, you're playing it right now, so clearly you like it.
Right. Yeah, I just got to World 7. I heard great.
Oh, same place as me.
Yeah, you haven't purchased any lives yet?
What's that, sorry?
You haven't purchased any lives yet? You got
I've got tons of lives in World 2.
Oh, they start to run out once you get to
World
2.
They do, yeah. There's a level that's all vines. That'll take away some lives.
I got to World 5 with like 60 lives, but yeah.
Yeah, they start to deplete around that kind of area.
Like 60 and then left World 5 with like 2.
Yeah, by the way, we just reached 40% of our overall goal, so thank you to anyone who just donated here at the last minute. That's excellent. And, you know, even if we don't unlock the next hour, your money's still going to Child's Play. It's still a great cause, so it's still worth donating, especially if you've been meaning to and you just haven't gotten to it yet. Please go ahead and do that now. It's worth your time to do it.
If we get Sklens back on the show, will he go ahead and donate to get us up to the next level?
I don't know if Mike can.
He's got the scratch.
This is a team effort. We're not looking for an angel investor here. We're hoping to nickel and dime it up, you know. All right. So, Kelsey, would you like to win a prize?
I'll give it a shot.
Okay. I have a question that Carly sent over. I assume this is from the Gamer Quiz.
Might be.
So the question is, what happens if you keep jumping on the giant Koopas in Supermassive Galaxy from Super Mario Galaxy 2?
Oh, thanks.
The giant Koopas in Galaxy 2.
Still rub it in?
She sent this before you said that. No, so you still haven't played it at all?
Steel 2 question.
No, I haven't played it at all. Well,
I have Red Steel 2
question. I'm still working my way through Red Steel 2, so...
Well, you
that epic.
You can probably guess this one if you keep jumping on the giant Koopas.
You get a coin. They die. I don't know.
All right, one more guess.
What else do you get when you jump on things a lot in Mario games? Come on, you have a lot of crap to give away.
You get a one-up.
You get a one up. That's right.
Hey, I was going to say they do the ninja rap.
No.
Congratulations, sir. And what prize would you like out of this wonderful list?
Desperate Struggle still on there?
Yeah. No More Heroes 2?
Yeah, that looks pretty good.
All right. So is Carly the assistant right now?
Carly is the assistant right now, yes. All right.
So yeah, follow up with Carly either on Skype or in the chat and make sure she gets your contact info and we will get that out to you soon.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you very much for calling in. I hope you had a good time listening.
Yes, thank you.
All right. So let me...
And play Mario, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
It's not my favorite game ever, but it's really...
Trade in Red Steel 2 and get some credit towards Mario.
Get it out, Mario.
Okay, next up is Laura from Australia. Let's see if we can get Laura on here.
Is Laura a Tomb Raider?
That's why we have you on, Zach.
Bum, 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 bum.
I felt like that's Greg would have groaned there if that were professional.
Yeah, well, Johnny got in front of me. I didn't want to make it a chorus. I'd be laying on a bit thick, wouldn't it?
I let him groan out. That was the...
Well, Johnny obviously was the more audible of the two. But I'm glad to know that we made it far enough in that it's actually sort of waking hours in Australia. I mean, that is one thing of achievement.
That was one of my goals, actually, for today was... was that it was a decent hour for our Australian listeners. So, Laura, are you on the line?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Hey, hi. Nice to meet you. So,
you too.
What are your thoughts on Game of the Year?
Well, I sound like a bit of a crowd follower when I say this, but I really loved Super Mario Galaxy 2.
Okay, fair enough.
It is just that good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it has Yoshi.
It does have Yoshi. It's great.
And it's got all Yoshi the little different...
Contrary to popular belief.
So Billy tells me we just hit $2,000 for this great charity. That nice. Is so awesome. Thank you, everybody.
Yes. Red steel for everybody.
Well, you know, we just have to go to the landfill out in Arizona. And
it's next to ET.
Yep.
Oh, Neil's so mad right now.
Laura, did you have anything on DS that was that stuck out?
I sort of like loved Soul Silver. I know that people don't think that's amazing, but yeah, you got to go for the Pokemon.
Fair enough.
That's a fair question. Fair answer.
I enjoyed it a lot.
There are a few million people who enjoyed it a lot, along with you. So
yes, and we met almost all of them at PAX East.
The Pokewalk.
God, the Pokewalk is so cool. Well, yeah, my friends think I'm dorks. I'm a dork because of it, but it's still cool.
You are a dork. Do you know what you're doing right now? Do you know who you're talking to? You are
a dork.
It's okay.
Let's try.
Let me tell you something. My wife just handed me a box in which my latest cheesecake figure arrived from Amazon. So I am just dorking it up right now.
Wow.
I'm talking about video games and staring at Temekai Kusaka.
Oh my god, that's so cool.
Ain't it though? And I have dinosaur books right next to me.
I love our listeners.
So Laura, would you like to win a wonderful prize?
I'd love to.
Okay. Carly has delivered me a pretty difficult looking question.
Oh no.
Okay, I probably won't be able to answer this.
It's okay. You could take a guess, and I'm sure you'll have a good chance if you
guess. I'll start coughing hints at you probably, but that's fine.
Here we go. How many presidents has Nintendo Company Limited, Nintendo Japan, how many presidents has the company had?
I have no idea, so I'm going to guess a random number. 7? I'm guessing.
I'm sorry. Go a little bit lower.
Three.
I don't know. Okay, this is sad.
All right. Well, we can't just give it away. The answer is 4. That's Fusajiro Yamauchi, Sekiro Kaneda, Hiroshi Yamauchi, and Satoru Iwata. 4.
Okay,
in over 100 years. They do tend to serve very long terms.
They're the Pittsburgh Steelers of corporations.
I saw that one coming.
I don't know what that means, but okay.
They haven't had very many head coaches.
Oh, okay. Laura probably didn't know what that meant either.
Yeah.
It's not
stupid,
Aussie
okay? Don't
No, it's fine. Trust me, it's much more niche than basically Greg and I are probably the only people in the chat who understood what that means. It's fine.
Laura, Laura, before we let you go, have you ever seen a duck-billed platypus down there?
No, but a lot of drop bears.
That's good enough. I'm so jealous.
That's perfect. That's so funny.
Alaska to Australia in one conversation.
Right. I know.
The magic of the interwebs.
I mean, right now we have people from Alaska, England, Australia, all on the call and across the U.S. as well. It's amazing. Well, Laura, thank you very much. I'm sorry you didn't win a prize, but I hope you've had a good time listening.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling in.
See ya.
Okay, bye-bye. Well, Billy says technology is awesome sauce. Are you still on the call, Billy?
Yeah, I'm just being quiet.
You're quiet.
You're not there.
That does not happen often.
Are you tired?
I'm heavily caffeinated. Oh. So.
I normally am on the show. I'm not so much today.
I'm a little wired right now, but as soon as we're done, I'm going to crash hard. So I'm calling Anand right now. I'm waiting for Anand to accept the contact thing. So if you're listening, Anand, look on Skype and
take your time because we're frantically trying to come up with another question.
Oh, are we? Invite like a couple dozen of them for Gamer Quiz.
They're being saved.
You're still hoping for 495.
You can replace them later, you know.
No, we can't. They're categorized. It's hard to replace them.
Good lord.
$495. Come on.
I'm also going to add Dave right now. Sithman Dave. And maybe he'll be available first. Whoever gets here first, you'll get the next
we'll get the next question, which is evil.
The next call in. Oh good. Another chance to not give out a prize. Okay. I've got Dave online. Gonna add Dave to the call right now. Dave, can you hear us?
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Hi.
Very good. Just sitting here at work trying to find a quiet space so I can try to win a prize.
Awesome. I'm so glad you're doing this instead of working at your job.
They won't miss me.
All right. So, Dave, did you have any comments on Game of the Year, any input on that?
Yeah, I'll throw in my picks. So for Wii, it's got to be Super Mario Galaxy 2.
Okay.
And for DS, Picross 3D.
Hell yeah.
Crazy addictive.
Yep, jump on the Picross train.
Oh, it's solid.
It's a smooth ride.
Picross train.
Dave, do you agree with me that the sound and the feel of the blocks breaking is like a huge part of that game?
Yeah, it really is. And you know, the first time you said that on the show, that really resonated with me because that was my exact feeling for why it's so fun. It's just fun to get in there and break blocks.
Well, James, would you like to say anything in response to that?
Breaking blocks.
On the street, breaking blocks. God,
that was
uncharacteristically wacky of you. I don't really think of you in that way these days.
Breaking block, I don't even know what that reference is about.
It's in 103.
Oh, gosh.
It came out of a WiiWare write-up from Nintendo's awesome press releases.
Oh, okay. Back when we used to read those on the show.
Because
didn't read them unless they were Joe and Niki.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
We would reference them if they were terrible.
Yeah.
And that one was terrible.
Yeah. They're always terrible, though. Dave.
Yeah.
How long have you been listening to the show?
Oh, geez. I've probably been listening for about 3 years now.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
As long as we've been on then, that's chilling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think this was probably the first Nintendo podcast I really started listening to regularly. And it introduced me to the site, and I've just been a fan ever since I started listening. It's a great show.
Awesome. That's what it's all about. Would you like to win a fabulous prize?
I would like to try.
Okay. This is a doozy. Wow. Okay. This is a question from Carly. What are the four colors of the face buttons on the Japanese/European Super NES controller?
Google.
Oh, I know.
Four different colors. So it's different from the American version.
Blue, red, yellow, green.
Perfect.
Damn.
Awesome.
You got it. You won a prize.
All right.
What was that? Just a pure guess?
That was a pure yes, yeah. Well done.
They tend to work those colors. Those colors are all in on the N64 pad. You've got the red start button, blue and green A and B, and the yellow C buttons, and then you've got the GameCube pad. Uses a lot of that. It's the colors they like to hit.
It was an educated guess, I guess.
Well, they did before they went all, you know, monotone on it.
Apple white.
By the way, Dave, the chat is blowing up with congratulations for you right now.
Yes, it is.
Oh, excellent.
Which one of these fabulous prizes would you like to take home?
So I can get a WiiWare game. Is that right?
You can? Yep.
Yeah, so I've been thinking about And Yet It Moves. So I think this would be a great opportunity.
Have you played the demo? Have you played the demo?
I've played the demo, and I enjoyed what I played.
Yeah, me too. I think it might actually be better than the PC version because you have that rotation. It's a game that really works better on the Wii than other systems because of that.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. The only problem I have with it is the jumping feels really weird by itself. But once you realize you can turn the screen around to get around, it's not so bad.
Mm.
Awesome. Okay, well, we will make sure that happens. Make sure you get your information to Carly either by Skype or in the chat.
Will do.
And we'll hook you that up. Hook you up with that. thank you again to Uncle Bob for providing those. We really appreciate it. And there's one left, so if the last person wins and wants that prize, I think we can make that happen as well. Okay, and Anand is now connected. So let me get Anand here on the call. Dave, thanks a lot, and I appreciate you calling in.
Great, thanks.
All right. And now I will try to get Anand in here, and that may very well end this whole shebang.
Wow.
Oh, we've got to get Carl on in some capacity before he's done so much to help with the logistics of it. Is he available to show his face, figuratively speaking?
Let's throw Carl on here right now if I can. Carl, if you want to go to your recording machine, you could do that, or else I can get you in on a different name.
Recording machine.
Yeah, I mean, Carl's had a computer open the entire time just to record.
So I haven't done this yet, and this is the end. We'll do it live.
We'll do it live. What?
We'll do it live.
We'll do it live.
Play us out. I don't even know what that means, to play us out. There are no words there.
There are no words there.
Can I say something about Child's Play real quick?
Yes.
When I was younger, I had cystic fibrosis, so I spent a lot of my younger years in hospitals getting IVs. And Child's Play wasn't around yet, but in the hospital that I went to, they had a cart with a Nintendo, an NES, and I played a lot of Zelda 2 and Mylon Secret Castle, and when they got a Super Nintendo, I played a lot of Star Fox. And it was such a huge help for me. It helped me spend my time. I didn't get bored. But it was also something fun to do while you're lying there in a hospital bed. And because of that experience, I really, really support Child's Play. And I think it's great that you guys have been supporting it with this show. And I'm always rooting for them. They're really cool.
Awesome. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can, Carl.
Yay.
We finally got you on the air.
Can I say, Zach, why'd they bring Island Secret Castle, Zach?
It was really hard.
Zach, do you love it?
I didn't understand that game, but I really enjoyed it.
No one understands it.
It was the kind of game where I'd be like, all right, I'm going to try and get past this room this time. I don't know what the hell's going on, but hey, this is kind of fun.
Right, right.
Oh.
What's up, everybody?
Hey, dude.
What's up,
Carl? I think at this point you're like the eighth person on this call. It's amazing that it hasn't exploded yet.
Well, I mean, you know, it's been, look, beyond
you're on
anything,
here twice, actually, Carl.
oh, yeah, because I'm on here and then I'm also recording me talking about it at the same fucking time.
I know, that's meta.
It's fucking badass. So I gotta say, beyond anything else, I want to congratulate all of you guys on doing such a fucking awesome job today.
Hey, dude, can you hold that thought? Because I want to talk to Anand. And
I'll
gotta get your Super Nintendo game in as well. Don't forget.
Oh
that.
Yeah, you're gonna enjoy it.
Okay, Anand, are you on the call?
Yeah, I am.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you for putting up with us for a couple of minutes there while we.
Sorry, it was actually my fault. I've never used Skype before.
No, it's okay. I understand. It's a cool program. Obviously, it can do some amazing things, although it occasionally
explodes.
It goes nuts a little bit if somebody has a bad connection like me. But
yeah, everything's blinking.
Yeah. So, Anon, how long have you been listening?
Off and on since the beginning, I guess.
Awesome.
And wow. Pretty much solidly for the last 2-3 years.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Have you enjoyed the live show?
Yeah, it's been pretty good all the way through. I'm pretty impressed.
It's the Medium live show, live!
And some good donations and stuff like
that.
We
did it live.
Yeah, pretty active.
I know. We have raised over $2,000 now, which is incredible.
Yay.
It's incredible.
Hey, Anon, do you have $495 so we can keep doing this?
I had $495 this morning, but I just spent it.
Oh,
damn it.
On Red Steel 2.
Me too.
On how many copies? On 10 copies of Red Steel 2.
Probably more than that. So Anon, what did
become the pinata that we just kick the shit out of?
Actually, I don't mind Red Steel 2. I think the shooting was pretty good in it.
I enjoyed it. I liked the game, not that much, but I did like it. But,
yeah, it wasn't great, but it was alright.
I kind of liked it too. So Anon, what are your game of the year picks?
I would say my game of the generation is probably Monster Hunter Tri.
Wow,
game of the generation.
Generation.
Love on here.
I'm like one of those people. Possibly my game of the lifetime.
Wow,
because he's going to play it for the rest of his life.
Do you want to measure the how many hours you've played Monster?
Yeah, like I probably shouldn't say, but I mean, I think the last time I checked, it was about 290 hours I'd put into Monster.
Oh, I see.
The span of about what 10 months?
In the span of about 10 months, which is probably more than I put into the last probably 2 or 3 years of games before that, I would say combined.
Wow. Damn,
he's playing.
Wow.
It's an addiction.
What's the thing that really hooks you on that game? Just curious.
It's just exciting. It's like it's kind of a grind fest, but you know, like in RPGs you grind and stuff, but it's not really enjoyable. And in this you grind, but it's, you know, like kind of heart pounding action the whole time. And, you know, it just captures that gamut of human emotions from joy to, you know, despair or whatever when you like fail with one of it, just, you know, to go or something like that.
Now, do you play with? Do you use WeSpeak or do you like do what everybody else does and use like Xbox Live?
Apparently, you don't use Skype.
Yeah, well, I don't use Skype. Unfortunately, I do use WeSpeak. And
oh wow!
It's like I can understand what they're saying like 25% of the time.
That's like those sort of randomizer things in other RPGs.
Pretty much, yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's still pretty entertaining. You can still kind of get the gist from the person's tone.
Yeah. It's kind of like Phantasy Star Online where you've got characters like making signs for each other.
Oh yeah, they actually have that in Monster Hunter Trials, so they have gestures.
That's probably more useful than WeSpeak.
Yeah.
All right, anything on DS? Have you even had time to play DS with all that try?
I really haven't played much, but Miniland Mayhem is pretty good. I've only put like an hour into it. I'd say probably the best game this year is probably Shantae on DSiWare.
Awesome.
Hell yeah.
That was really good.
I haven't played it yet, but March.
First thing you should get, Mom.
March. Oh, I'm going to play it in 3D.
And I don't know if Aura Climber came out this year, but that was really good, too.
What was that?
I don't know if Aura Climber came out for DSiWare, but that was really good, too. This year.
Never heard of that.
Neil might know, but he's not on right now, so check in the chat. He's probably heard of it.
Neil says, yes, it did.
Then I'll change my response to that. It's pretty awesome.
All right, and let's see. Carly has a few questions here. Let me see which one of these is the easiest.
Yeah. Did she go straight for the sadism?
I don't know. No, these are actually all look fairly easy.
Hopefully, there aren't about any other games than Monster Hunter Tri that released this year.
I'm afraid they're not.
Okay, so I assume you haven't played Kirby yet.
I played just the tiniest bit.
Okay, you're not going to get that one. How about what was Mario's name before he was called Mario?
Jumpman.
Yes.
Yeah.
You win.
Yes.
Win.
Woo!
And which one of these fabulous prizes would you like to take home?
Which one is the most fabulous? Probably the book thing or the WiiWare game.
The book thing. What do you mean?
100 classic books for DS.
Whatever it is.
Oh, really? You want that?
Sure. What the hell?
All right.
Actually, go blind. You'll go blind.
That's true. Can I actually change that to a WiiWare game?
Yes, you can.
Okay, change it then.
Cool. All right, and do you have an idea of which one you might want to get?
Yeah, maybe like Contra Rebirth or Next Quest or something.
Nyx Quest is really good. That's what I would
recommend. Nyx Quest is insane.
Yeah.
Yeah, the demo is fun. So
either that or Dive. I haven't played Dive yet. I want
Dive
to
is cool.
They need to make a demo of Dive now that they can.
Dive is a little repetitious though. Nyx Quest keeps things interesting the whole way.
It does. It's a short game, but it is dense and really, really good.
Real fun with Steam people. Now too.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. I think it just came out.
That's interesting. Well, I think it would work fine with a mouse. So, okie doke. Well, congratulations. You're gonna get a WiiWare game or virtual console of your choice, thanks to Uncle Bob. So make sure you get your contact info to Carly, either over Skype or the chat.
Post chat.
And we'll get that to you soon. You do have a US Wii, right?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Well, then that should work out fine. I think we know what the most popular prizes have been today. It's funny. I look at some of this stuff like FIFA 11 or Madden. Well, I guess we probably don't have that many sports fans, but some of these are pretty good prizes. Some of these are definitely more valuable than a WiiWare game, but
we should just auction them off.
Auction them off for Child's Play?
For Child's Play. Mm-hmm.
We could do that.
Cool. Yeah.
We'll consider that.
Auction them off for my personal charity.
Oh, no.
Auction them off to the Human Fund.
All right, Anon, thank you very much. And thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was good.
All righty. Now then, it looks like we're going to have to make the closing rounds here, the closing ceremony. We have reached 40% of our goal, and that goal was pretty optimistic, I have to say. I mean, we've never done anything like this before, and you know, we knew that it would be a rolling thing, and we really didn't know how much it would work out. So I'm very, very happy with that. I told Carl yesterday, we were on the phone last night talking about, you know, everything we were going to do, and I said, you know, Carl, you know, we were both nervous, but I said, Carl, even if everything just blows up tomorrow and we can't even get anything working and we don't do a show at all, we've still raised almost $1,000 as of last night. Mm-hmm. I said, you know, that's amazing. I mean, the fact that people were so excited about even the idea of us doing this that they actually donated that much money before it even started is awesome.
That's incredible.
And then we raised about that much over again during the show.
In 6 hours.
Yes. Pretty amazing. $1,000 in 6 hours. That's a lot of money. A lot.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's fast.
Yeah. And by the way,
don't
just
stop
so everyone
talking,
knows,
dude. The money's going up. It's still going.
And by the way, the chip-in link, the box will continue to stay open through Monday, I think. So if you can't do it today and for some reason you can do it tomorrow or Monday, or if we happen to get a recording out by then, I don't know that we will. But if you do hear this before Monday the 6th, you can still use that. And of course, if you hear this after that and you didn't have a chance to donate, maybe you know, your payday didn't line up or whatever.
Child's Play clicks all year round.
Absolutely. Yeah. You can donate to Child's Play anytime, and we would really encourage you to do that, whether it's through us or through anything else. We really encourage you to support this charity because it's awesome. Just like Zach was saying, it really makes a huge difference to these kids. Oh, yeah. Something that might seem kind of trivial to you. I mean, I play so many damn games, I can't even remember some of them after I play them. But if you're a sick kid in a hospital for 6 months, you're not going to school, you're not going out to play with your friends, it can make a huge difference in your life to have something like a Mario or a Zelda to distract you and to take up your time, you know?
If you want to donate, go to childsplaytrd.org if we've already closed up our chip-in.
Yep.
That is
so
fair.
Thank you so much to everybody who donated. I really do appreciate it. And I think we've already made a big difference in the lives of a lot of kids through this.
I know you did.
But what's our current total, Johnny?
What?
What's our current total?
Our current total is $2,015 from 119 contributors. That's 40%.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
That's very awesome.
Yeah. So if there's $485 that comes in from now until Monday, do you guys have to like start this again?
if that happens, Carly and I will do our trivia contest.
There you go.
Although she just promised that. So
I'm sure you can pull it off. You do it on a Friday or a Saturday, some week in the future.
I mean, we already wrote questions.
And now, Johnny, we talked about it, and now this is going to be a monthly thing, right?
Oh, my God.
I wouldn't mind. This has been a lot less work
just to get ready for this.
It's been a lot less work than I normally. I'm thinking, bloody hell, I've still got some of the night left. Normally, I'll be editing for a few hours. Yeah.
It's every week now.
Yeah, Greg's going clubbing tonight for the first time in a couple of years.
Yeah.
All right. Carl, did you want to give some closing comments here? I wish we'd had you on for a little bit longer, but we had you set up for some segments that we didn't get to. So
yeah, it's too bad. I did promise that if we got to midnight, I would do a Sexmo ballad, but you guys are never going to know what that was.
I'm okay with that.
I told you unless
you show up to PAX East, in which case I'll be doing it all around. I'll be all over.
I told the listeners what it was before. It was your highly offensive the Satchmo parody routine.
I'm just saying it's off Broadway. We don't have a lot of funding yet, but
except
you know,
it's not playing a trumpet.
Mm. Yeah.
Still, we have confidence in the Spider-Man musical, so that's good.
Mm. So you mentioned PAX, and I was going to ask Jeff Callis about this if we ever got back around to him, but we have applied for another panel at PAX East in March in Boston, and so hopefully we'll get back in and do something bigger and better than last year. And as I mentioned before, I'm hoping to show up with some RFN T-shirts. So we'll see how that goes. But Jeff
wish
is
you guys would come to West because I'm kind of.
We tried. It's
hard. Yeah, we applied, but that one's a little more competitive.
Oh, yeah.
That's the big guy. So, yeah, we're trying to create our little niche audience over at PAX East. So I hope
that's pretty big. We'll though. They already outgrew the original site in 1 year.
Yeah, they outgrew the original site on day one of PAX East.
Yeah, essentially they outgrew it on the.
This building was not up.
Not big enough. Yeah.
And by the way, we are really hoping to get Greg at PAX East. So
yes,
that would be awesome if we could do that.
And this year, James isn't going to be fucking sober on the drunk cast. I can promise you. This.
Oh my God! The dentist chair.
Force someone to drink. That is a felony.
Okay.
I'm personally
bankrolling. His
it's going to be like North by Northwest. He's just going to end up in a car.
Exactly. But one last thing I just wanted to say, and then I'll pass off to you guys. I am just so, so proud of all of you for doing what you've done today. I mean, really, it's really incredible that you guys were able to put so much money together in such a small time. And then also I want to thank Jared, who really stepped up to be an assistant, really like at the last minute and covered a lot of holes that we had. So big shout out to that guy.
Yeah, and I want to thank Carl for doing a ton of background work and promotion. Carl's been pretty much around all day behind the scenes helping us with all kinds of stuff. He's doing the recording, which hopefully is going to work out and we'll be
able to. All good. It's all good.
Awesome.
I'm putting chapters on that bitch.
Whoa, all right.
Dual files and is a big chunk.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be like a 400 megabyte file, but it'll be awesome.
Nah, I'm sure we can split it up. No splitting.
It's going to be like Che, that movie Che. It's just going to be 400 megabyte.
No.
It won't even have chapters on the DVD.
Split
right?
it up into three or
and someone's going to listen to it, and he's like, you know what? This guy really needs an editor. That's Johnny's favorite thing to say about things. Yeah. Kojima. Everybody needs an editor.
So
luckily, you've got one, Johnny.
I know. I appreciate him very much.
You should hear Johnny on his other podcast. He's not so.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to hear me a little more raw, go to Crosstalk and
Crosstalk.com. That's Crosstalk.com.
It's okay if I'm editing myself, but when Carl doesn't really edit me at all, so I come through as a I'm gross. Pretty much a son of a bitch on Box Office Poison. So.
Too hot for RFN.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
Check out episode 2, Caligula. You will thank me later.
That is the most popular episode of any show that you've done, isn't it?
It is. It is, in fact. So
because it ties in the most directly to this show, I think you know that.
Yeah, I know how to pick them. what can
so
I do?
So can we quickly go through and thank all of our helpers?
Absolutely. Sure, everybody yeah, yeah. who's been who's been on the air and also behind the scenes has been – we look, this is not something you could do with one or two people. I mean, this is a really complicated operation. It really is. And the level of teamwork through the whole thing has been incredible. And just – can I thank everyone for putting up with all my emails yesterday? It was a deluge. Sure. It really was.
I thought I was being murdered by Johnny's emails.
Yeah.
Unprecedented.
It was a lot of emails.
It was like four.
You guys.
Yeah, but then they built upon each other.
Okay.
Billy didn't get all of them, trust me. Yeah, it was a pretty wacky day, and I'm very happy with how this has gone. I hoped it would go longer, but I have to say, for the time that we have been on the air, which is over 6 hours now, it actually went a lot smoother than I would have thought.
It went very
just
well.
Slightly longer than our usual recording sessions.
Yeah, not. We're gonna get a lot more usable material out of it, though.
Hey, folks, Carl Castaneda here, your humble editor. This is actually where the call dropped out, and I won't be returning on the other side of it. So I just wanted to say that I was super psyched that everything went so well on this this charity event. And for the record, my favorite Super Nintendo game is none of them. Fuck the SNES, Genesis for life, Carl Castaneda out.
Oh, that's how it is.
Hey, Carl. Okay, he's back on the recording side, so hopefully everything's going to be good there. All right, guys, anything else you want to say before we go?
I had a fantastic time. It was crazy and.
Wait a minute! Did we actually have James and John at the same time? We didn't.
I'm very upset about
that.
John's still around. Can we get him on here?
Shortchanged everyone there. That's sad. Because
John, I have an exchange to make.
I got him on PSN Plus, James. If that comforts you any, I said to him PSN Plus paid for itself yet, and his response was pretty weak.
John, are you on? John.
Lindman.
John.
Cool.
I am here.
There you are. We were just lamenting the fact that you and James hadn't actually been on at the same time today.
We've had 6 hours and we haven't had the showdown.
Showdown.
Did you have something prepared, James?
Just a punch in the face.
I feel like you guys have been with each other in spirit, if not in form, today.
Because I've been trolling him from the chat mostly.
Yeah. And vice versa, I'm sure.
John's not been doing so good in that front lately.
Yeah. Well,
but you know,
he's getting mellow in his old age.
John was on the Marconi earlier, so I mean, this is.
I don't even know what that means.
John survived the KT extinction.
Okay, John, harsh. Anything you want to say before we go?
You know, I'd just like to thank everybody for putting all the effort into this, and you know, it just makes me really proud of the site. And I think it's one of the coolest things the site has done by far.
You gonna cry?
So, very good job, everybody. Thanks for all the effort, and thanks for everybody who listened and donated, especially.
Yeah.
So, I'm not gonna cry. No tears.
I wouldn't cry.
Sounded like we're about to have some Oscars tears there for a minute.
Yeah. Well, before we go, I would be remiss not to also thank our special guests, Craig Harris, Billy Berghammer, and Jeff Callis. I wish we'd had Jeff back on more to talk about games, but he had some family obligations today and couldn't come back until pretty late. So, Jeff, we will contact you soon about PAX, if nothing else. I still want to hear your explanation of Metroid Prime Hunters, but...
For another day.
Are you going to interrogate him?
No, I mean, I'm kidding.
Jeff was on the previous show with us when we did the Geist retroactive. He told us that what we already knew really about Nintendo's rule of three.
Yeah.
What I want to know is why are the bosses repeated four times in Metroid Prime Hunters?
Yeah.
I think that is one outstanding question.
Wrong. That's terrible.
Oh, it's the eyeball boss again. Great.
That's terrible. Okay.
Four time.
All right. So one last tally. We are currently at $2,045.
Holy shit. That's fantastic. Thanks, everybody. Again, the donation box will remain open tonight and tomorrow and through at least
somebody
part of
take
Monday.
Take it up to 2050. Take it up to 2050.
Yeah. That's
right. $5.
Cash money, as Carl said. we have to speak. We can't get everybody back on here, but on behalf of everybody who's been on the call earlier, we thank everybody for listening and donating and for calling in. I know it's maybe nerve wracking to call in live, you know, with everybody listening and
do it live.
And I'm glad we found several people who were brave enough to do it, and some of you won some cool prizes. And I hope you enjoy those very much. And I hope we can do more of this. You know, PAX East is probably the next opportunity to do some live interaction. We definitely want to do that. And, maybe we'll do all this again next year for Child's Play. I'd like to, for sure.
You got four words for PAX East: close range T-shirt gun.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be good. It's going to be like that episode of The Simpsons where Homer takes the bowling balls to the belly. It's going to be a lot
of yeah. T-shirt to the chest.
Well, Johnny, I would thank you for the audacity. So you did a pretty good job.
If I don't have audacity, I don't know what I have. So
yeah, well, it's the irony being that this is the one day where we didn't have to use that cursed program.
Yes, I know. Alrighty, well, it was my pleasure, and again, this was such a team effort. I'm really amazed by the cooperation. This was, I mean, almost like doing E3 on the internet. It was really complicated, and we had so many people step up and offer to help, including we didn't hear much from Aaron, but Aaron did a ton of work on the website side to make our event page look nice and to work and do everything that we needed it to do.
Was Aaron on the call earlier?
Aaron was he was during the radio trivia, but he was quiet.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
It's probably because he knew every answer.
Yeah, he didn't want to spoil it. I'm sure he did, actually. So anyway, I think we're going to have to call it off now.
I'm sad.
We've been putting it off for about half an hour, but we
can't. Yeah, what stage of the grieving process is this again? Procrastination? Is that a
denial.
Stage of the grieving process?
I'm in denial, personally. No way. We're going all the way till tomorrow.
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm still going to be here. I'm not even shutting down Skype. I'm just going to sit here in front of my computer for days.
So nothing will change, basically.
Just talking to your mic.
All righty.
Six and a half hours.
Well, thanks, everybody. And keep an eye out for the recording. I'm pretty sure that's going to turn out to be okay. And we're gonna try to get that out to as many people as we can, especially the donors first. But if it's possible for us to make it available to everybody, then we will. Absolutely. If we can do that, we will do it. So if you miss something, don't worry. All right, that's it. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Thank you.
Enjoy the music that'll come on when we kill the stream.
Everyone.
Go Jets. Beat the Pats on
Sunday. Go Falcons.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Deep in my heart, there's a trembling question. Still, I am sure that the answer's gonna come.